the Morning Invasion with Dex, Steve-O, and Teo.
What day is this?
It's Wednesday.
I think I know what people want to hear when they first wake up.
We need more laughs on the show.
What are you talking about?
These guys are hilarious. They do so much funny stuff.
Hello, my name is Steve-O. I am with Star 88 and the Morning Invasion.
We own the radio.
The most prominent morning show in all of radio history.
More prominent than
at least currently on the air in Albuquerque.
Good morning, old friends.
Hey, what are you doing here? About to go on the air.
We have inquiries of big things, like, do you still serve the Rollin' Ranch? Because let's be honest,
okay.
It was the jam, and I miss it. Love it.
Okay, we'll do something about that right away. Let's start by doubling your medication.
Let Wednesday begin.
Hit it!
Happy Wednesday. Good morning. Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. Dex, Steve-O, and Tam. Mm. 6:05 in the a.m.
I don't even know if I want to do the high today because it changed like six times yesterday.
Yep.
High today of 93 degrees. Or is it?
Or am me? How them monsoons looking?
Hopefully it rains quite a bit and just keeps it cool so that my car doesn't explode. Yesterday I was driving around in that bad boy, and all of a sudden I looked down because my air conditioner was blasting like really hot. And it was like, there was the H, and it was through the roof.
You poor little guy. You know, man.
Overheated.
95% of the world doesn't have a vehicle, so.
95%?
Yep.
Where did that statistic come from?
What?
Google it.
Where did the what come from?
Statistics.
Where did that statistic come from?
Oh.
I think it came from the same place where you got your sleep last night.
Yeah. Non-existent.
Good morning. 585 Live. That is our live line. You can text the show. I know a lot of you do not like to call because you're shy. You're shy. We get it. Text us. You can call us if you'd like. 338-3700. Of course, send us emails at studio@star88.fm. We got a ginormous show for you guys this morning.
Yes.
Giant, big, enormous. Today's the 181st day of the year. Christmas is right there, guys.
I mean, kinda.
Right there. Just ready for it.
Guys, we have to talk about something on our Facebook.
Talk about it.
Oh, wait.
So, I think DJ Bossman Dan has an admirer.
He has
a number one fan.
Oh, man.
Somebody
really?
That looks up to him. And I'm sure it's completely platonic. But now he's trying to take our credit.
Who is?
Well, a listener said, love that little high-pitched voice you just did, Daniel. If I didn't know better, the Morning Invasion would be rubbing off on you. Oh. Smiley face. Daniel wrote, nah, it's the other way around.
Oh, man.
So what he's saying, and what this listener believed, because then she says, so you admit you are the influence of the weird stuff in the mornings? LOL, nice.
Oh, okay.
I will say this. Yes, Daniel is the reason anything is weird about this station.
Mm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In any negative way that you can say weird, that's exactly right.
Daniel's got a girl. Boy,
okay, no.
It's a girl.
He's married.
Just checking.
That's
why I say this is platonic, because this person is also married.
No, stop it. That's not.
I believe you can get
so do I put this in the topic? I'm going to put,
yep, you gotta put this
in the program log, Daniel's boyfriend.
No, it's a girl. Guys,
topic.
A girl. That's rude boyfriend. To her. That's rude to her.
Guys, our boss doesn't want to listen to the show anymore.
No.
I know.
We're putting him on blast right now.
Yeah, we are.
His name is Chip.
I don't know why we're putting him on blast. I thought we all talked about how this was a good thing.
Oh, it is a good
that
thing.
That he didn't want to listen to us.
Anyway. It is. But I was thinking about it.
Less chance of getting fired.
Well, remember when we kicked off the show? He said he loved it. He was a fan. He was coming up to us every day saying, oh, guys, when you talked about this, it felt good. When your boss comes up yep. and he tells you, wow, I loved what you guys did. I love what you guys talked about. He got excited.
Yeah, he did.
And it was for reals.
Yeah.
And now we find out.
He doesn't want to listen.
He didn't even come and tell us himself.
Nope.
He went.
Minions.
He went a step down to our other boss.
Yep. Okay, so topic. Should I just put Chip?
Yeah, we're talking about Chip on blast. Put Chip on blast.
Chip on blast.
Put Chip and Daniel on blast.
So here's what our boss wants us to do. He wants us to do a spreadsheet, and he has the hours broke down. Each break.
Broken down.
And we have to put everything that we talked about.
That's right.
So that way he doesn't have to listen to
it. So our first topic in the 6 a.m. hour is Chip Daniel on blast.
So if there's, some, like if there's something that he wants to listen to, he can look at the spreadsheet and go, oh, they talked about it this time. Now I don't have to listen to the whole thing. I can actually go and fast forward it to that time.
Wait. How about if we don't put Chip Daniel on blast? Because then now that means they're going to go back and listen. So should we put migratory patterns of owls?
Yes.
Okay. So that they won't listen.
That's a solid issue.
Okay.
That's good.
Mm.
That's good stuff.
Okay.
I just want to comment back on this post and say.
Whatevs.
There you go. Migratory patterns of owls.
Here we go.
Perfect.
That's Steve's
length,
new,
3 hours.
New job he has to do every morning.
Every morning, guys.
Every break.
If I forget, you guys have to tell me.
Just got to put in what we're doing.
Yeah.
Every little thing. You know, it's just another step towards the end times.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw that email.
We got an email about the end times?
Yeah, it says, has the Great Deception started? Are we in the end times? I wrote them back. Don't worry. Don't worry about what I said, guys.
Oh.
But I wrote him back. They won't be emailing again.
Oh,
I guarantee
it. We should be doing that to our listeners.
What are you talking about? This person obviously doesn't listen to us. If they did, they would know the answer to their question already.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be asking us.
Guys, today... 1,948 years ago.
Whoa.
In 68 AD, St. Peter the Apostle, the first bishop of the Catholic Church, was crucified by the Roman Emperor Nero.
Whoa.
On this day, almost 2,000 years ago. 76 years ago, in 1940, in an issue of Batman Comics... Dick Grayson, a.k.a. Robin, found himself orphaned after mobsters killed his family. A circus highwire team known as the Flying...
Graysons.
Yeah. Young Dick was adopted by the ambiguously... I can't say that.
Ambiguously?
No.
By
yeah,
Bruce
you
Lyon.
Definitely can't say that.
Can't say that. There you go. How old is Gary Busey today?
Ooh. Dude, Point Break, bro.
Gary Busey,
Point Break.
73.
No, 65.
He looks old. He looks crazy.
If you forgot about it, well, Gary forgot about it, too. I mean, he probably doesn't know how old he is either.
Mm-mm.
72.
Oh, wow. You were right there.
He's crazy looking.
And Melora Hardin. Melora Hardin. You guys know who that is?
Where?
That's Jan on The Office. Melora.
Oh, yeah, Jan. Yeah. Jan Levinson.
Pretty Jan.
She was also in, is it The Rocketeer? She sings in
No way.
Yeah, she's the singer in the, what is it, the Blue Swan or whatever, wherever they go, that nightclub where then the mobsters come in. That's Jan singing.
How old is Jan or Melora Hardin? Melora Hardin.
46.
43.
49.
Ah! I was trying to go.
You were being kind.
Trying, in case you were listening.
Guys, really excited about the show today.
I am too.
Huge interviews.
Of course, AGT coming up.
Oh, no! We already got somebody chiming in. on the live line.
What do they want?
Morning, boys. How about that AGT last night?
Hey-o.
Yeah. You guys watched.
I did not.
I didn't either.
You don't have to watch.
I don't have to
bring
watch.
It guys, every Wednesday.
Did you guys know that Melora Hardin was on The Little House on the Prairie?
I did not.
Check it out.
Oh, there she is.
Wow.
Whoa.
That is her. I remember her.
She was Belinda Stevens.
Belinda Carlisle.
No. Wow.
Mind blown.
Mind blown.
AGT update, 7 o'clock hour. There was some good talent last night.
What?
More singers. That's really all I can do on the radio is the singers. Because everything else, you'd have to watch it. But we're going to try one. We're going to try a talent during the segment this morning that's not singing and see how it works. See if people enjoy it.
All right.
I love it.
4th of July is right around the corner. We already have a fail. A 4th of July firework fail.
Oh, are you serious?
Yes.
That fast?
Yes, guys.
It hasn't even started yet.
Come on. You guys have to be careful with fireworks. Every year, the news stories just pour out. People blowing their hands off. Who was it last year, that football star? He was about ready to sign a deal.
Joe Montana blew his hand off?
Yes, it was Joel Montana. Joel Montana.
What? Nobody told me that.
That's not true at all.
Troy Aikman blew his hand off?
Wasn't it like Pierre Paul?
Yeah, and he was out in the street lighting off fireworks.
He was out in
the
yard?
And he blew one of his fingers off.
Dang.
Wasn't he a wide receiver or something?
I thought it was a defensive end.
Yeah.
For like the Giants.
There you go. And that's he crazy. Lost his deal.
Yeah.
No NFL for you, buddy.
Sorry.
So go. Be careful. So my dad would always say, use your brain. Use your brain.
Whoa!
Two brothers get emotional when they see colors for the very first time. We'll talk about it. Play a clip. What if you were colorblind? What if you had never seen color?
That would be very sad.
Yeah, but if you're born that way, you wouldn't know any different. Right?
No, I guess not.
You wouldn't
but
know what
you're
missing
out on. But then if you got to see color for the first time,
I guess that's the situation.
Wow.
Yeah. These two brothers, they've never seen color before, and somebody invented these glasses.
Oh, cool.
And they put them on and experience it. Wait till you see how they reacted when they put those glasses on.
I can't wait to see that. That's awesome.
We'll talk about some firefighters this morning. They did something great for a woman turning 100 years old.
Nice.
Mm.
And transgender. We got a controversy.
Another one.
Yet another one.
Prom
this time.
We'll talk about that this morning. Anything else you guys want to talk about? Anything on your minds?
There's a lot happening overseas as far as sad stuff. There was a
Turkey.
Yeah. In Istanbul, in the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Big mess over there.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that coming up in headlines, but I know security, especially at the Sunport and all around the country, is tightened a little bit.
Yeah, like you said, we'll talk about it in the TO section.
Trying to think what I did yesterday.
I know what you did.
Oh, I slept for 6 hours.
Whoa. Did you?
Yeah, that's what I did.
You went home and took a nap?
Yeah. Yeah, it was one of those. My wife was at work, and so I was leaving work yesterday, and she said, well, I'll climb into bed and wake you up, around 3 o'clock. Yeah, that'd be great. She never woke me up.
Oh, man.
You didn't deserve to get woken up.
We had an ice cream social yesterday, which was great for this guy, lactose intolerant.
Oh, no. Baseball?
Yeah.
Does that hit you right away usually?
Post-baseball, yes. They had floats.
Give him 20
minutes. I was like, well, I'm not going to not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Look at that ice cream. I will take that and Coke and some Sunkist as well. Let's just mix it all. Let's just mix it all up. They have a game tonight, round two of the playoffs. But I'm going to miss it because Teo and I are going to be...
The playoffs?
Rocking some worship. Yeah. District
Already?
Championship tonight for All-Stars.
Man.
Didn't All-Stars just start?
Yeah. But, I mean, that's basically what it starts, and that's what it is. Is oh. You start with district, and then it goes to state. I mean, this is like, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
If you could switch places with me, let's say,
mm-hmm.
let's say if you ate just like you always do, and you but you gained weight like me,
mm-hmm.
but you didn't have your stomach issues, would you switch with me? Because I'd totally take your stomach issues if it meant I could be skinny like you.
Yeah, of course you would. No. No, I would not. I was actually talking about the... I'm in line. I'm in line.
I don't feel all gross and I don't puke and my stomach doesn't go crazy.
Last night, we're at this, you know, it was after practice. They just had ice cream and all the parents had to bring 2 liters of whatever. And so it's like all the kids in line, all the 10-year-olds in line, and then me.
Steve-O, you're not allowed to get in that line.
And so one of the parents was like, man, come on. And then he's like, I'll get some. And then they give him some ice cream. And he goes, can you just pull out one of those scoops? Because I just, you know, I can't. I'm trying to keep, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I go, hey, you can give him my scoop. Or give me his scoop. And so they gave me like an extra scoop of ice cream. I'm like, yeah, I'm lactose intolerant, but I don't even care. They're like, oh, man, how old are you? Must be nice. You know, and I'm like, well, I tried. Tried that whole CrossFit thing. I even ate like 4 meals a day. Never got to like 160.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't get there no matter what I do. So I just gave up. Now I'm going to just eat whatever.
Steve-O has the body of a ballerina.
I guess. They used to call me Dune because everybody thought I had a sandworm living inside of me.
Because
I can't gain a pound,
man. I used to be like that in high school. Growing up, I never gained a pound. They thought I was anorexic at one point.
Dude, whatever. Yeah, but here's the deal. Everybody always said, psh, must be nice. Wait till you turn 20, kid.
Yeah, that's what happened to me.
Wait till you turn 25, kid. Wait till you turn 30, kid. Hey, you know what? Someday it's going to catch up to you. I'm still waiting for that to happen.
Wait till you turn 38, kid.
Yeah. Someday, man.
Someday.
How about Scotty or your sister? Do they struggle with weight at all?
No.
What was that?
It sounds like somebody needs a fresh diaper.
Really?
That's right.
That happened?
No.
You didn't hear that?
I heard it.
You just start talking, Derry. Like, you just have to talk about it. Scotty and Sarah, no. Scotty bulked up because he's like gym and bah. I don't know. We're all pretty thin. I'm definitely the thinnest of the three.
Paper thin.
Yeah. That's me.
585 Live. Hit us up on the live line. No interviews today, guys. None.
That's probably good, right?
Yeah, it's probably good. Actually, we have a secret one.
We do.
We're not going to tell you who it is.
Are you keeping it from me?
No. It's that one.
It's a secret one.
We decided that we're going to do off the air.
Yeah.
And then see how it plays out. But we don't tell you guys because you get your hopes up.
Secret interview.
Secret interview. Here's a hint.
Don't do this. You're going to give it away.
This person has a child named Michael Jackson.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be easy to Google. Huh.
But it's not going to be that easy because that's his kids' middle names.
Yeah.
Middle names, plural.
It's a good name. I mean, Michael Jackson.
Really?
Yeah.
But I mean, really? I guess it's because he used to dance for him.
Man, you're giving away too much.
So much.
That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say.
For somebody that hates spoilers, you're...
Mm-hmm.
Doing it.
Michael Jackson.
Guys, we're interviewing Michael Jackson.
Posthumously.
No.
It's going to be incredible. Never before done.
Yeah. That whole thing was so sad.
Okay.
Did you see hear the latest stuff with Michael Jackson? The stuff they found?
How the kids found him or something?
No, the stuff they found at Neverland.
Stop talking.
Well, I'm not going to say it, but you've heard about it, right?
Tell me off air.
You think that's true?
I didn't hear it. Tell me off air.
They found, I'm not going to say it.
No, because it's unconfirmed.
That's what I'm saying. But they found it at the Neverland Ranch.
That's how rumors get started.
There were a lot of people that worked at the Neverland
Ranch. I don't know if I should Google that.
I don't know. It was
TMZ.
Trending or something.
Yeah, right.
It was on Facebook Trends. But that it was a few weeks back. And then I haven't heard anything else about it.
Because it was fake.
I hope so. But they found some really awful magazines and stuff.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, that's from The Sun. Just reputable sources like The Sun.
It's a tabloid.
Like The National Enquirer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good.
Yeah.
That makes me feel better.
Just solid.
Here's solid. An article. It says in 2005, Neverland Ranch investigators discovered the corpse of the real Michael Jackson.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's on The Onion.
The Onion.
The Onion is
one of my favorites.
Did you really say no kidding? Yeah. Stop. That's not funny. What's wrong with
I
you?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Okay.
Go to break. Dex.
Okay.
It's time.
Oh, man.
Gosh, it's been time for like 8 years to go to break.
Hey, will you put down that we talked about Michael Jackson?
No. No, yeah, I will
talk
not.
Talk about his corpse.
What they count you got to put that down. And Secret Interview. You got to put all these down or you're going to forget.
Okay.
Good morning, Starmy. Headlines coming up. We'll check the roads. They're okay, I'm sure. Drive safe. Take it slow. Hang out.
In its earliest days, the major function of radio was news. News was the warp and woof of life. But with this contribution came a bonus. Entertainment.
What color is it? The one that Carrie was supposed to wear.
Oh, no.
And
what? Yeah, you know what? I don't need a trip down.
You know what I think you do?
On.
Yes, I think you do. I think you do, Sammy. You know, this is the dress when we all still married the second time.
Whoa.
The one that Mike and Carrie stopped when they found out the truth of Will's paternity.
The paternity?
And, oh, wow. This is the one from our almost wedding in Vegas.
Yeah, well, there's more.
Oh.
How many more? One I almost what? Married Franco in.
What?
This is the one that I was going to wear when I got to marry Brandon.
What?
This is the one that I was going to wear the first time I was going to marry Lucas.
The first time?
I remember
that. How many times is she going to marry Lucas?
Man. Whoa.
Another way America passed the time was listening to radio.
Uh-oh.
You better get out of here before someone not quite so understanding catches you.
Sammy, get away. Don't get hurt, Sammy. Go!
Get,
okay, good.
Get
She's
out
leaving.
Of there, Sammy.
Oh, I was so Sammy. Worried for her safety.
They tell us radio is dead, but this isn't entirely true. It is gone, all right, but it isn't dead. Radio lives on in our minds and hearts because part of our national heritage was formed when radio was king.
Hey! What's going on in the news today?
Terror attack at Turkey's largest airport.
In a campaign appearance in Pennsylvania, GOP candidate Donald Trump kept up his attacks on Hillary Clinton.
As long as she is in charge, nothing's going to change.
House Republicans are calling what happened in Benghazi scandalous, releasing a final report, 800 pages.
No U.S. military asset was ever deployed to Benghazi despite the order of the Secretary of Defense.
And the report characterizes the stalled deployment amid infighting over whether permission from the Libyan government was required.
The tributes are rolling in for legendary Tennessee basketball coach Pat Summitt, the winningest coach in college history.
Golfer Jason Day says he plans to have more children so he won't go to the Rio Olympics because of the Zika threat.
Home prices have risen to record highs in several major U.S. cities.
29 million chests and dressers are being recalled by IKEA after toppling units killed six children, including one death 27 years ago.
The private conference board says consumer confidence has hit its highest level since October. Experts say it's been boosted by a stronger job market.
638.
High today of 93 degrees.
Let's take a look.
Traffic!
You know we got to be looking at traffic, y'all. Nothing's going on. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic!
Thank you.
Welcome to the program, everyone.
It's good to be here.
Good to see you, Steve.
Good to see you too, Joseph.
338-3700, that's our phone number.
Compliment my dancing.
Oh, that's good. If you go to our webcams, star88.fm, you can see Teo shaking it.
Shaking it.
Can they see him?
Like a Polaroid picture.
I think they can only see your face, Matt.
Don't call me Matt. It's Teo.
Theo?
Tone. It's an alternative pronunciation. It's Tone.
Tone.
You can't even say it right. Look at me. Tone. It's spelled T-E-O. Tone. Tone. Oh my gosh. Okay.
What do you got?
Well, do you want me to do news or do you want me to do creepy stuff?
Wait for it. I'll get to that in a second.
I found something creepy.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's talk about it. Is it in your news or?
No, it's not. Okay. It's based on that email we got last night.
Let's do it.
Got an email. Okay, everybody. Has the Great Deception started? Are we in the end times? Subject: Mandela Effect / the Bible. Who knows what the Mandela Effect is?
I do.
What?
Why, it's a concept associated
with... Gosh, quit using Google. Listen, so the Mandela Effect...
Uh-huh.
It gets its name from Nelson Mandela. And it's because some people, quite a group of people, have a memory of him dying in the 80s. But he didn't. He died in, like, 2013 or something.
Yeah.
Or did he? Because when I read that, I was like, wait a second. When did he die?
He died in 2013, we remember.
Do we? Because
Will Smith and Bono and everybody had a big gold concert for him.
Here's the deal, guys. Steve-O, read him. Read him the Wikipedia entry. It's at the top.
Oh, wait. That's confabulation.
Yeah, that's not what you want.
It's a concept associated with Fiona Braum. Describes a situation where a number of people have memories that are different to available evidence. Braum says the name comes from several people having memories of Nelson Mandela dying in the 80s rather than 2013.
So, back in the 80s, they didn't have the technology back then, but you know how online and stuff people always are saying so-and-so died?
Mm-hmm.
And then it, you know... The ripple effect.
Maybe there was just a big rumor.
Yeah, somebody started a rumor.
Oh my gosh, they've got so many different examples. Another one. What's the name of the family of bears that we all grew up with? You know, the family? Brother Bear and Sister Bear.
Goldilocks and the Three Bears?
Stop that!
No, it was a family. It was a children's...
Oh, Bernstein Bears.
Bernstein.
Yeah.
I always said Berenstein.
So did I. There's a group of people that... grew up being taught that it was Berenstein Bears because it used to be spelled differently.
What?
No, it's Bernstein
Bears. And
then
at some point, it was Bernstein Bears.
It's Bernstein Bears.
You were taught Berenstein?
No, I was taught Bernstein Bears.
Berenstein?
No.
Bernstein.
Bernstein, yeah. Bears.
Isn't that weird?
No, why is that weird? Because that's what it's always been.
Because when I was a kid, it was Berenstein.
No, when I was a kid, it was Bernstein Bears.
It's always been Berenstein.
I know you're the oldest one in here.
Yeah!
But when I was a kid... Seriously.
How is it spelled?
Bernstein Bears.
Wait. Bernstein. He just said Einstein Bears.
Bernstein
Bears.
Bernstein.
Huh.
It's interesting, guys. It's interesting. We could be living in an alternate history.
Well, it is Bernstein. Bernstein.
What are you saying?
Bernstein. I've always just said Bernstein.
Wow. You're the only person.
Sorry.
In my lifetime, to say Bernstein.
I think you should apologize again.
Bernstein.
Bernstein.
Bernstein. Bernstein.
Bernstein Bears.
Yeah.
I love the Bernstein
Guys,
Bears.
This is what this means. We could be slipping in between alternate dimensions, parallel histories, parallel worlds.
Hold on, I have to write that down on the program blog.
Right issues.
Alternate universes.
Alternate universes, parallel timelines. We could just be slipping in between, and we have no idea.
Yeah.
Don't you recall a vague memory of Nelson Mandela dying in the 80s?
Sure.
Nelson Mandela. Yeah. Hold on, I'm putting this on.
What year was it in the 80s?
It was the 80s.
Just the 80s?
The whole thing.
I was a young lad in the 80s.
Oh, I was too. pretty sure I remember being
taught.
It was
called Berenstain.
Come on.
Berenstain. And then they changed it to Berenstein.
You're messing with my childhood.
Okay, now we've entered into a third and fourth parallel.
Yeah. That's real. I love Berenstain Bears. Stop it.
That, what you just said is basically a vulgarity.
Mm-hmm. I'll dump you next time.
Sorry.
He was close. His hand was on the button. It got over there so fast.
I don't want to talk like a robot.
You're not a robot, Steve-O.
Or is he?
I still read the Berenstain Bears
to kids. You could be a robot.
My kids.
What?
Berenstain. I still read them to my children.
Stop it.
Let me ask you this, though. Do you have a memory of having children in
the 80s? Oh, man! No, wait, in the 80s? No, I was like...
Or do you?
Five. It's like three.
I really wish we had an episode of Unsolved Mysteries.
No, I feel like this is more like Fringe. Here's what's crazy is when I go to try and click on the Mandela effect on the internet, I've gone like three different ways to try and get to it.
Mm-hmm.
It takes me to something else entirely.
Yeah. Gosh.
Confabulation. In psychiatry, confabulation is a memory disturbance defined as the production of fabricated, distorted, or misinterpreted memories about oneself or the world without the conscious intention to deceive. So this is different than lying, because this is maybe when you were a child, you remembered something a certain way. And so as you got older, you told this story and it was this way. But there would maybe be eyewitnesses or other people who saw it differently and over the years told the story differently. So when you get back together, basically, and try and confirm each other's stories, it's different, even though you have the same childhood memory.
Wow.
Isn't that weird?
That is weird.
Is it just our perception, the way we see things, perceive things?
Yeah.
Like an interpretation.
The way that we intake. Ooh. Mwahaha. Speaking of, man, can I be done with social media?
No.
Because of certain, like, interpretation things and stuff?
Oh my gosh,
I got sucked into a vortex yesterday of just crazy biblical interpretations of a topic that I just...
Of what?
I don't even want to say. My brain hurt after I read it all.
Are you okay?
I guess.
Do you want me to rub your
Confabulation
temples?
Is distinguished from lying, as there's no intent to deceive and the person is unaware the information could be false. But wouldn't that be, okay.
Oh my gosh, people on the live line blowing up.
Sorry. I'm thinking about it. Sin is missing the mark, right? So there's like the sin of commission where you like... set out to do wrong, right? But there's also the sin of omission,
mm-hmm.
where you unintentionally miss the mark, but it's still like sin, right? So it's kind of like, I didn't know the speed limit was set as such, and yet I broke it.
Mm.
So is confabulation or the Mandela effect sin? Because you're still lying to yourself.
Yeah, it
but
is.
But you just don't know. You're a liar.
But what if you're... What if the truth that you're living in is the actual lie, Steve-O? What if the omissions
like Berenstain?
What if those are glances into the real universe and you're actually plugged into a machine right now?
You're freaking me out, man.
I know, I'm sorry. It's a good Wednesday morning topic.
You know what I'm thinking about?
Chicken nuggets.
No.
What?
Friday's slow motion theater is going to be fantastic.
Oh, because it's going to be all about... Here, let me make it even better. Oh my gosh, guys. This...
Wait, so how do you guys say Berenstain Bears?
Berenstain
Bears.
Berenstain.
Berenstain.
Berenstain Bears.
I say Berenstain.
Everybody
hey, we got to chime in on the live line, and somebody said, I am 27, and I say the same as Steve-O.
Oh, my gosh, Steve-O, you're way younger than we thought you were. You're not 42.
I'm not. Wait, 42?
You're in your mid-20s.
Or, guys,
that answers so
or
much.
Or they're confused on who Steve-O really is on the show.
No, nobody is confused.
Look at this. I say Berenstain, too. I still have the books.
I do, too. I read them to my children. And I say, children, let's snuggle up for a little episode of the Berenstain Bears.
Let me ask you this. Since you've been mispronouncing it, are you sinning to your kids by lying to them?
By lying.
You are.
Oh, I don't know.
Is that omission or commission?
I really wish we could get a like one of those computer thingies where they go, this is how you say it, Bernstein, where it was like, Bernstein.
Can't you just Google it?
Yeah, do your thing.
What thing?
Teo has a thing over here on his computer where he can type in any word and it'll pronounce it.
Cool. Okay. There is actually a conspiracy theory that has convinced the internet that there are parallel universes.
That's what we have been talking about this entire time. Mandela effect.
No, this is different. This is the Berenstain Bears.
Literally on the same website that I was just on, there was a t-shirt that said Berenstain, and instead of the E or the A, there was a pound sign.
Ooh, I kind of want to watch that YouTube video.
Proof of the Mandela effect in action?
It's the Mandela effect.
Which one is it?
Is it Mandela or Mandela?
Wait, they pronounce it Berenstain, S-T-A-I-N. I thought it was Bernstein.
All right, hang on, guys. I don't know. We need to screen this first because it's some guy talking. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay, you guys heard it.
If you're familiar with the Mandela effect, there's a whole website devoted to it, and there's a lot of things that I believe when I was younger are apparently completely wrong and different than what reality says they are now.
This video is 7.5 minutes long.
Okay, that's 240,000 views.
Because here's the deal. Maybe it was just because we were children and we were stupid and we couldn't pronounce it. When I was a little kid, I used to say Magneto, okay, when I was reading X-Men comics.
Yeah, but and then your parents would correct you.
Nobody ever corrected you.
You know what corrected me? The 90s X-Men cartoon when it was like Magneto. And I'm like, Magneto, what an idiot. It's obviously Magneto, am I right? Oh, it is Magneto? Oh, okay. I've been saying Magneto my whole life.
The problem with this is, versus your example, there wasn't a large chunk of the population that was like, no, Magneto's right.
No, I'm telling you. If you ask anybody from the 80s, they would say they read it Magneto.
He's the only one that was in the 80s, so we have no way to back this up.
Wow.
He was the only adult in the 80s. He was literally in his early 20s in the 80s. So he's the only one that can confirm or deny
that's
that.
That's true.
You and I, we have no card in this game.
He was just a wee lad.
We were so young. We're still so young, Dex. Wanted to kick this one off with the first news piece.
Wait, I know why.
Oh,
I know why.
It.
What?
It's because even though it's always been Berenstain Bears, A-I-N,
no.
Back in 1985, Hanna-Barbera teamed up with Australia's Southern Star Productions to produce a Berenstain Bears cartoon show, which aired in America on CBS.
Me too.
Despite the A in the title, Berenstain being in the title, the show pronounced it Berenstain Bears.
Here's the problem.
Berenstain.
We've got a video that we're going to have to watch off air because we're not sure if it has bad words in it. And this guy says he's refuting that. Like, he says he has definitive proof. Definitive proof. On the internet. Can you imagine?
Hold on, I have to write Berenstain.
Somewhere deep in Bear Country lives a Berenstain Bear.
Berenstain!
No, that was Berenstain.
Berenstain Bears.
It said Berenstain.
Lives a Berenstain Bear.
Berenstain.
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 The kind of furry around the torso.
Wait, that's the new one.
Yeah, this is...
That's the new cartoon.
It's definitely newer. The production quality is better.
Yeah. Here it is.
That's
oh my gosh.
There we go.
Random House. This is what
I remember. This way to Bear Country. You'll know when you're there. As soon as you enter, you'll feel like a bear. A great grizzly bear. A Berenstain bear.
Berenstain Bear.
Oh, no, it said Berenstain.
No, it didn't.
Yes, uh-huh,
it
go did. Back.
It said Stain, friend.
It what? Did.
Berenstain Bear.
Oh! Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh!
Berenstain Bear.
We've all been lied to.
Wait, keep
every
going.
Every single one of us.
We are the Berenstain Bears.
Stain!
Yeah, Berenstain Bear.
Berenstain Bear!
Bears.
Berenstain. I'm getting screwed up now.
I know. Literally, we were just saying Berenstain Bears.
It was. Berenstain.
No.
Berenstain. Oh, okay. Right. I can't say it anymore.
Here's the deal.
I quit.
Speaking of bears, there was a bear attack victim.
Oh.
That once changed in New Mexico wildlife law. That's a real thing. It was the runner. You guys remember the marathon runner?
Yeah.
They got attacked by the bear?
Yeah.
That person is advocating to change the state law that forced wildlife officials to kill the animal. What? Karen Williams tells the Santa Fe New Mexican that the female bear was acting on its protective instinct to defend its cubs when it charged and mauled her. She's taking the stand on June 18th in that national preserve. Valles Caldera, I don't know. Williams, who was competing in a race when she was mauled, was treated at an Albuquerque hospital for bites, scratches, and a fractured eye socket.
Oh.
The black bear was tracked and killed by authorities. Its cubs have been taken to a wildlife center. Williams says she sent a letter to the governor protesting the law that mandates euthanizing animals that attack humans. She also plans to petition the state Water and Natural Resource Committee.
I kind of understand what she's saying, but at the same time, now that bear has attacked a human being, it's probably more likely if another human approaches, it probably would attack again.
You never know.
Yeah.
Because to her point, she's saying the only reason it did that is because it was protecting its cubs.
Hmm.
But we'll never know. In other news, and in really sad, disturbing news, terrorists attacked the Istanbul airport in Turkey yesterday, killing at least 36 people, injuring another 147. And didn't you say that now it's up in the 40s, like the amount of people that were murdered?
I don't know.
Relating to it locally, the Albuquerque International Sunport is increasing security and police patrols in response to that attack. Thousands travel through the Sunport each day. Brent Lunt was headed home to Phoenix. He said he normally doesn't notice police officers posted at the check-in curb or patrolling in this area of the terminal, but Tuesday, it was different. I did notice a police vehicle today when I pulled up. This guy, Brent said. Dan Jurin, the spokesperson at the Albuquerque International Sunport, said the Transportation Security Administration directed the airport to boost security and police officers minutes after the alerts.
I would like to point out, being the only one raised in New Mexico, we had multiple people on the live line say, "Hey, we're from Albuquerque." We say Bernstein. And someone else said, "Feel the burn, Steen Bears."
Yeah, maybe that's a New Mexico thing.
There's an Bernstein. Entire city of people that have been
that have been saying it, not just part of it wrong, but apparently
the whole thing.
Yep. I grew up city. Saying Bernstein.
All of Albuquerque.
Baron Stein.
You guys are Bears. Wrong. Not right. You're
I
wrong.
I feel so
what about
violated.
Baron Stein?
Well, you guys watched the cartoon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why didn't you watch the cartoon and say, "Oh, I'm saying it wrong. It's Baron Stein." I can't even say it anymore.
Tell us, Magneto, why didn't you change it?
Berenstein? Berenstein. There it is.
Still say Magneto.
Berenstein.
They are all wrong. It's Magneto.
It's because of your guys' accent.
Obviously.
Okay, we have to go to break. We have AGT on the way.
Oh, no!
Steve-O's favorite thing.
No!
Hang on. What's up, everybody?
Parallel universe.
No way.
Man, just deep conversation.
Sorry.
Good morning.
Hi.
It is 7:11 on a beautiful Wednesday.
High today of 93 degrees.
Let's take a look at those roads, see what you guys can expect on your morning commute. Right now, no accidents or incidents other than construction work showing up on my map. So have a good morning trip. That's your look at traffic.
USA! USA!
Why?
USA! USA!
Yeah!
USA!
Yeah!
USA!
Yeah!
Okay.
Thanks, Dex. That got me real pumped up.
Betcha.
Well, good, because we're less than a week away from Freedom Celebration.
Yeah,
that's one whole break of the evening invasion.
That's right. It's Saturday. This Saturday, hang out with us, Isotopes Park. It's free. It's free. And it's not just us.
The pre-show kicks off at 4 o'clock. That's us!
Yeah! That's us. The real show, Battle Drums Worship, Hawk Nelson, A Message from Skip for King and Country, and, of course, fireworks.
Lots and lots of fireworks.
Tons of them.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Side note, update on the live line.
Update.
You were with us earlier in the conversation. Someone chimed in and said, I grew up in Colorado. I say Bernstein. Or I did until the cartoon came out and I learned that all the world was a lie. Berenstain.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Wow, guys.
Wow. Yep.
We're living in a parallel universe.
We're going to watch this YouTube video later on and then we'll update you guys.
No, never.
Yes, we are.
Never.
We'll give you a little update on it. Earth 2. Earth 3.
Man, those YouTube videos can be tricky. They say there's funny ones floating out there.
That's what I've heard.
I don't know about it.
Yeah, I don't know either, man.
We just got an email that says AGT. No!
Yeah.
Dump it.
Yeah.
Dump it. What? Come on.
I'm just saying.
You can hang up on yourself, emailer.
You can't say that. That's mine.
Yeah, but I was addressing an emailer.
No. I'll sue you, man.
Oh, yeah? Well, you can delete your email yourself.
That's not very cool.
Super cool for nerds.
All right, let's give an Olympic update here from Rio de Janeiro. Guys, not looking good in Rio at all.
Not at all.
Rio's leader warns that the Olympics could be a failure. We're just a few weeks away until the start of the 2016 Olympics. Brazil is still suffering from serious economic problems. The acting governor of Rio warned that the Games could be a failure if his state doesn't get its finances in order. Brazil hasn't followed through on a promise to provide Rio with extra funding for security and transportation.
Not good.
Police officers in the city aren't being fully paid and may not even have enough money for gas.
Wow.
Things are not good in
that
Rio.
That's not good.
Have they ever just canceled the Olympics? Can they just do that?
It's never been canceled.
We should look that
like,
up.
Like, seriously, it's never been canceled?
No, they were
canceled.
Just
making that up?
They were.
I don't know, during World War II, maybe?
In earlier World War II, before the Nazis really went over the top with what they were doing, they had them in Germany, didn't they? Because there was just a movie put out called Race, and it was about that Olympian that went over there amidst all the turmoil. But I wonder, you should Google and see if they've ever been.
Was it Prefontaine?
What does that mean?
I don't know. In other Olympic news, should we be concerned about the crime in Rio?
Yeah.
Well, we have a correspondent in Rio talking about the crime.
A clash between police and gangs in one of Rio de Janeiro's impoverished favelas, with civilians caught in the middle. Urban warfare in densely populated communities, where parents struggle to keep their children safe. This woman says two bullets flew into a children's recreation center. When armored personnel carriers and police special forces move in, they trigger more gunfire. It's not exactly what you'd expect in the host city of the upcoming Summer Olympics.
Good grief.
Thank you, Luke. Correspondent down there in Rio for
always appreciate
games.
You, bud.
Go ahead.
So in the past, the modern games were only canceled three times, always on account of war. 1916 Summer Olympics in Berlin were canceled because of World War I. The 1940 Summer Olympics in Helsinki, as well as the 1944 Summer Olympics in London, were canceled because of World War II.
Last little update here from the Olympic Games. Super bacteria found at Brazil Olympic venues.
What?
Yeah, on the beaches.
Really?
Yeah.
We can't have the Olympics this year.
Scientists have found dangerous, drug-resistant super bacteria off beaches in Rio.
Not happening.
That will host Olympic swimming events.
I have a question for you.
Yes. Bad ideas.
Okay. Let's pretend like you are an athlete.
Okay.
You have trained. Like, these Olympic athletes train their whole life.
That's their job.
And really, it's like, right, that's your gig, and you really only have a limited window for the Olympics because it's every four years. So you're like, oh, I'm 15. This is perfect. And then I'm 19. And then it's like, I'm in my 20s. Because these Olympic athletes, they retire so young because their bodies are conditioned at such an extreme, performance rate that
they don't last very long. So you're in your mid-20s. You have been training your whole life for this. Do you go to the Rio Olympics with all yes. of this? You do?
You go.
No.
Heck yeah, you go.
You don't.
Yeah, you go.
Why do you go?
You go because you don't have a choice.
Yes, you, yeah, do. You do. I literally just asked if you went.
That is not a choice, my friend. If you're an, if you are an athlete, if you're an Olympic athlete, and that is your life, like you said, you've given your life to that. You take the risk. You take the risk.
Yeah, but now, this isn't like ministry where it's like, but this is for the Lord and to live as Christ and to die as gain. To live as the Olympics and to die is Zika, bro. Like, you are going to die. Like, no, it okay. is awful.
You're not going to die if you,
you could.
Go to Rio.
Yeah, you could.
I could die driving home today.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we've already determined on our show.
You take the chance.
We don't use that as an
but
excuse
man,
for anything.
This is seriously, yes, we know that, you know, you could die at any time. Jumping in your car, it's dangerous because of the road, especially here in New Mexico where drivers are crazy. But it's not one of those things where, I mean, they're very real. We give Olympic updates, and more often than not, they're awful.
So you train 15 hours a day for 4 years, and you're going to sit them out for another 4 years. You have
well,
the
that's
chance
the big
to
question.
Take home
well,
gold okay. for your country.
Yeah, let me ask you this then. You're an Olympic athlete. You've been training your entire life. You have the chance to take home the gold for your country. There are things that could completely derail your career. They could completely destroy your career. That are outside. They're not like hinging on your athletic ability. There's the risk of disease. There's the risk of getting mugged and shot and hurt and killed and all this crazy stuff in Brazil. You're an Olympic athlete. You've spent your life on this. Are you going to go down there?
Yeah.
Why?
I am.
And then what if you get down there and what if you get shot and it's over?
Well, that's the what if game. Now I'm going back to what you said. We
I'm
can't
playing
do.
The what if
it's
game.
What if, it's the what if
live
game.
Live line. We want to know
what if
your
I go
thoughts.
Down there and nothing happens.
Well, I look at it like this. Say I'm going to the gym and I've pulled a muscle in my back, but I go to the gym and it's like, no, you know what? I've trained for this. I can handle it. My body
that
can handle it.
That's not even the same thing.
And it probably can.
That's not the same thing. Now let's say
okay.
Let's. This is different because it's the Olympic Games. I mean, it's the Olympic Games. You can't compare CrossFit gym to.
I'm not. I'm trying to come up with a good example because I don't.
I was gonna say maybe if you knew there was a possibility of an infectious disease on the mats at that gym, would you go?
I'll tell you right
if
now.
It was the only CrossFit gym in the city.
No.
No, you wouldn't. But you can't compare that to the Olympic
there
Games.
There are so
it's
many
kind of the same
NBA
thing.
Athletes. No, I realize they're NBA players, but yeah. So many NBA athletes declining the
completely
Olympics.
Different.
How's that different?
Okay, these guys make millions of dollars in the NBA. That's their job. They will continue
yeah.
to represent us every year, every season. It's just different. This is the shot for an Olympic athlete.
So
to
what about
get
golfers? Does golfing not count? Like Rory McIlroy, who's
yeah,
one of the greatest golfers
that's
in the
like
world.
NBA.
Okay. Because yeah. six of the world's greatest golfers have declined the Rio Olympics. They say not because of the Zika virus.
Yeah,
some
I can understand if you're in that position, a golfer,
out.
You're a professional golfer, and you're on TV, you're getting paid millions of dollars, but these Olympic athletes, they...
Well, wait, you're assuming that Olympic athletes in other countries, that they don't use this to make money.
No, I'm not assuming that.
Well, then it's the same situation. If I'm an Olympic athlete from Japan, and I do this for my life, and I make money on the side, then I'm just going to not go.
Hmm.
It's the same thing.
Well,
we don't know if Olympic athletes in other countries, like if this is all they have.
Yeah, we don't know that.
We don't know that.
Just,
we would have to know that.
I'm just saying I think it'd be an easier decision if you had a career as a golfer or an NBA player or some other sport, a soccer player. If you were famous being a soccer player,
yeah.
I think it'd be an easier decision. Maybe I should sit this out because
right.
I have a career making millions. I have sponsorships. I'm not going to take the chance.
Let me see.
But these Olympic athletes, a lot of them, this is how they become famous. This is how they represent
the
our
phone,
country.
The live line blew up, as
good.
With phone lines. So
338-3700, if you'd like to call us, or text us at 585-LIVE. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm going to have to agree with Dex on this one, guys.
Do it. Yeah.
Here's the thing. If you're going to go to the Olympics, and people are neglecting to go because of certain dangers, that means you're competing against less people.
Okay.
So that increases your chances of getting a goal.
Yeah.
I mean, and then you're not competing against the best in the world, potentially. So why? What is that? So then you just took the easy way out?
You got the asterisk gold medal because yeah. you didn't compete against.
Yeah. You didn't get the easy way out.
Yeah, you did.
You still earned your way to the Olympics.
Yeah.
It's everyone else's fault they didn't go.
This falls back on that whole thing of, are you really the best if you didn't compete against the other best?
Yeah.
That's everything.
As the great Ric Flair once said,
Oh no.
To be the best, you've got to beat the best.
Mm-hmm. Good morning.
16-time WWE.
Good morning. I thought he said, woo.
Yeah, he did. He did. Woo! Yeah. Yeah.
So, a lot of these Olympic athletes are thinking about it, especially with that bacterium that's on that beach. If I'm not mistaken, it's fleshy. So, as a swimmer, I'm going to say I need my arms and my legs win.
Yeah.
Can't really dolphin, whatever, your torso. And all joking aside, you know, yeah, you're going to, these guys are going to train hard 4 years. Who knows how long they've actually been training? Probably since they're like 12 or 14.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it stinks in the regard that, you know, really they're going to have to, if they're smart, they would just preserve their careers and just go on to do summer, like the summer championships, like indoor track and field. They have in Paris, things like that. And that's where they get a lot of their Nike endorsements of that nature. So, I mean, do they have the Olympics as the biggest stage? But that's just for America. Out there in Europe and pretty much the rest of the world, this is big-time stuff, like horse racing, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, John Day, as a matter of fact, said he's not gonna
go too far. Yeah, I get it, man. Thank you so much, buddy. Appreciate
it. Later, guys.
Later.
All right.
Yeah, I was thinking of something. We have the trials going on right now. We have the Olympic trials going on, and swimming and gymnastics and all these different summer sports. So you train, even though you train probably more than 40 hours a week, being an Olympic athlete, there's a chance you might not even make it to the games.
Yeah,
right?
So many people are siding with you, my
friend.
So
you finally,
that's good. Let
you
them side
finally,
with.
You make it.
Right.
You are one of the top people to represent our country in the Olympic Games, and you aren't going to go because there's a possibility that a super bacteria on the beaches could wipe me out.
Yeah. Well, there are people that say, you know what? I would go, but I would not step outside my hotel room unless it was for the event. That's what a lot of athletes did for the Olympics, Winter Olympics that were held in Russia a few years ago. Shout out to Silver City. They said, you go compete. Say you have a family and they encouraged you not to go. Would you still go?
Mm.
If your family was telling you, I don't think this is wise, would you go?
See, that's tough. I don't know.
So other people are saying, you know, like this one on the live line from Albuquerque says, American athletes will have protection from American security forces. It's other countries that don't have those kinds of resources where it's a problem because, man, I'm reading this article where not only is it golfers or NBA athletes, there are people who are sadly declining. Some athletes have decided to attend. But for instance, South Korea's entire team will be wearing, quote, Zika-proof uniforms.
I was going to say.
Which they feature blazers and pants pre-treated with mosquito repellent.
Yeah.
Check this out. The U.S. men's indoor volleyball coach is freezing his little guys, his little swimmers, if you will.
Just in case.
Seriously. For future use in case he becomes infected because he wants to have children.
Wow. Yeah.
So, I mean, people are taking, like, crazy precautions,
and then that's,
but still going.
If they want to go and they want to compete, they need to take crazy
precautions.
How
scary is it, though? You're a swimmer, and you find out that there's a super bacteria
dude!
Well, and you also have to consider this. You're a swimmer. You go, you win the gold. You also contract the super bacteria. You take it back home with you.
Mm.
You know?
Right.
And then
that's how The Walking Dead starts.
It's a Roland Emmerich movie.
Dude.
There's no plot. Everybody's dead. The world falls apart.
Sidney Levy, the CEO of the Rio Organizing Committee, says that the plan is to have 85,000 security personnel on the streets during the games. But that is the number one top concern, even over this flesh-eating bacteria.
Yeah,
everything that's happening.
It sounds like They don't have money to pay.
They're
the
having
security,
a financial crisis,
the police.
And there's tons of government unrest. Like, well, it's crazy down there right now.
They can't even afford gas.
Well, and think about this, okay? We have to bring this up because last night in Istanbul, 41 people lost their lives, and more than 230 people were injured at an airport attack that ISIS is now claiming responsibility for. Mm. Okay, you are now talking about Rio de Janeiro, where security is horrible, where we're in the middle of this world crisis of this extreme Islam group attacking anyone and everyone. And the hot topic of the day right now is the Rio Olympic security is terrible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, think about, forget Zika, forget flesh-eating bacteria, which is terrifying. Do you really want to go put yourself at risk in the midst of the chaos that is the world?
I would.
I know you would.
That's me.
Because you're crazy.
I think that most Olympians would.
And that's what people are saying. Think of it this way. You train your entire life for the Olympic Games that are 8 years apart, mind you. You have a decision to make 8 years from now. You might not be able to perform. What do you do?
That's true. You know what? That's a good point. Because this, and then another person on the live line says, coulda, woulda, shoulda, I think I would have bigger regrets by not participating
right.
in my sport. I understand that. I get that. There's something to be said about that one thing.
Yeah, tomorrow's not guaranteed is what quite a few people are saying. You know, Dex, you're 100% right. What if you walk out the door and get killed by a random shooter? Picking up your groceries, you do it. This is what you've trained for. Mm-hmm. By the way, most people are saying if the best, quote unquote, were too scared to go to Brazil, then yes, your gold is definitely valid. Doesn't matter how you win it, gold is gold. Yeah.
Or that person just didn't want the health risk.
338-3700, thanks for holding. Good morning.
What's up, guys?
What up?
Pool boy, help us out.
Dude. I'm telling you, I agree with Dex, you go. They're like soldiers, man. Soldiers don't say, oh, I'm not going to war because I might get shot.
Well, also because you're like usually a soldier for the military and they're like, hey, that's called going AWOL and you are now going to prison.
Right.
So athletes have a choice.
Well,
but you still sign up for it. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah, that is true.
I do think the soldier thing is a bad parallel.
Yeah, because you know that
you're signing up
could
for two
go
different
to war.
Things. Yeah.
Oh, athletes are like, I'm preparing to go box for my country,
right.
not shadow box mosquitoes.
Well, they're going to go do it in a foreign land, and you know what I mean? It's not always
well,
here,
yeah, but
you
we can't. You can't equate Olympic sports with going to war. I don't think that's
good. I'm telling you, they're soldiers, and they need to put their head down and go fight for their country. Yeah, right. Same dang thing.
Okay.
Thank you.
Right, man. I love you,
pool
guys.
Boy. Love you, too.
Woo! The Olympic Games not looking good in Rio de Janeiro.
Somebody asked us on the live line. They said, why are they having the games in Rio if there's so many health risks? They can't stop now. Yeah. They're like pot committed.
It's too late.
Yeah.
You can't just cancel them and go somewhere else. I'm blown away that financially,
and that's
they
true.
Haven't raised enough money to take care of all these situations that are happening.
Fair point. Somebody just said every 8 years for the Olympics. Did I miss something? Isn't it four?
It's every 4 years.
It is.
Okay. Well, then 8 year person, you were wrong. It's every 4 years.
Yeah, it's every four. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back.
The Morning Invasion with Dax, Stilo, and Teo.
And we're back!
Hey! What's going on in the news today?
Terror attack at Turkey's largest airport.
In a campaign appearance in Pennsylvania, GOP candidate Donald Trump kept up his attacks on Hillary Clinton.
As long as she is in charge, nothing's going to change.
House Republicans are calling what happened in Benghazi scandalous, releasing a final report, 800 pages.
No U.S. military asset was ever deployed to Benghazi despite the order of the Secretary of Defense.
And the report characterizes the stalled deployment amid infighting over whether permission from the Libyan Canadian government was required.
The tributes are rolling in for legendary Tennessee basketball coach Pat Summitt, the winningest coach in college history.
Golfer Jason Day says he plans to have more children so he won't go to the Rio Olympics because of the Zika threat.
Home prices have risen to record highs in several major U.S. cities.
29 million chests and dressers are being recalled by IKEA after toppling units killed six children, including one death 27 years ago.
The private conference board says consumer confidence has hit its highest level since October. Experts say it's been boosted by a stronger job market.
Mm-hmm. 739.
Hello. High today of 93 degrees. Take a look at them roads. Nothing popping up on my map, guys. You're doing good. You're having a good day. Hope your commute is fun. That's your look at traffic.
585 Live. You can text the show. 338-3700 is the number to call us. Thanks so much. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I need to make one correction for you guys.
Do it.
And then I want to make a little retort on the guy that I guess equivocated the Olympians to soldiers.
Yeah.
First of all, the Nature Boy Ric Flair, 16-time world heavyweight champion, mm-hmm. one of the best in the business. But his catchphrase was not to be the best, you have to beat the best. Because everybody called him the man.
Mm. Oh, yes.
And to
you're right.
Be the man, you've got to beat the man. Beat the
got
man.
It. Thank got you. It. Okay, good.
That beat was his catchphrase.
Man. Gotcha.
Now, as for this guy that says that these Olympians are soldiers, I was a soldier. I spent 10 years with the U.S. Army Rangers. I signed a blank check to this country to defend it with every blood, sweat, and tear that I had.
Dude, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Seriously.
Sir. Thank you.
You're welcome. I was and am still one of the best of the best. Very, very well trained. Now, these Olympians, they are the best of the best. But they are the best of the best at a sport. They're not out there fighting for life and death.
Yeah, it's true.
Now, saying that, I will say this. They took a moral oath to represent this country. Mm. They were chosen as the best amongst all those that competed around them from their respective country. And for those that were number two, number three, number four, that didn't get chosen to represent the country cannot now turn around and say, well, you know, you were, you know, you're basic infantry, and since we can't send special forces of the Rangers or Delta Force, we're going to send you instead. Hmm. Well, these guys have stopped training as hard as they were to get to the point of competing. Now, if I personally was an Olympian, it's an honor. It's an honor, and as Mary Lou Retton once said, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to represent your country in such a way that puts you with the greatest athletes from around the world.
Yeah.
I like that.
You,
yeah, I agree with that.
You must go, understanding what the risks are, you must go and have faith and confidence both in your Lord above as well as in the people that you are representing that they will do everything humanly possible within their power keep you safe.
Mm. I like it.
Now, there's no guarantee. As a soldier, I wrote a blank check, and I walked out that door every morning to go and do a job that I never knew if I came home at the end of the day.
Yep. Right.
There are many police officers, firefighters, EMTs, sheriff's deputies, corrections officers that do the same thing. They put on a uniform every day, writing a blank check to their community, and they know walking out that door that that day might not be their last. And these may be the most faithful people that you ever meet. Mm-hmm. And it's not up to us. It's up to our Lord and Savior, our Heavenly Father, to make that decision of who, what, when, where, how, and why. And it's not our job to question it, but to have faith. And if we can't have faith, then we've already failed.
I love
it, man. Faith is quite simply what you have left when you have nothing else.
Yeah.
We want to say again, thank you.
Yeah, dude, thank you so much.
You know, it's, words, I can't even give
thank you
the words that
yeah,
you deserve.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
But thank you
appreciate
so much.
Appreciate you, man. Have a good day.
I agree with everything you said.
You're welcome.
Man.
There you go. Hey, I want to clear something up because people are like, well, no, it is every 8 years because they alternate summer and Olympics and the Winter Olympics. But that's every 2 years.
That's every 2 years.
Yes.
Yeah.
The next Winter Olympics are 2018.
Yeah.
So it is every 4 years, not every 8 mm-hmm. years
yep.
For these athletes. But still,
yep.
Tons of people chiming in on the live line.
Yeah, real quick, we were talking before the break. We were giving you an Olympic update, and we were reading that now there's this super deadly virus, bacteria virus that is in the water and on the beaches,
mm-hmm.
and it's deadly. I mean, you get it, you're gonna die.
It's true.
And then the crime, and they're talking about how financially Rio is not in good shape.
Well, even the arenas and stuff, like where they're going to be having the events,
aren't
all built yet. They're not even ready. They're not even close to being ready.
Mm-hmm. What are we, 2 weeks away?
Yeah.
What the heck?
The things aren't even ready yet.
Yeah.
We got a message on the live line. This is a touchy subject. Yes, participating in the Olympics, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. But at the same time, I don't know if I'd be willing to risk my health that could hurt the athletic ability that I worked so hard for.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at. That's kind of the thing. It's like, well, yeah, it's the Olympics. And yes, you signed a moral contract to go represent your country. But then at the same time, they signed a moral contract to set up a place of safety to have these games where, you know, you wouldn't be flying in under threat of crazy bacteria or being shot because of I know that we have terrorist things that happen because even in that's happened periodically, but this is a little bit different because they are setting these things up and it's not like some crazy like random terrorist act. It's like, oh, come to our country of political unrest where these crazy things have been happening and they still happen and we'll try to keep you safe. It's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the question was, would you go if you're an Olympic athlete, knowing that there's a chance you could die because of bacteria or the crime or whatever issues that they're having that could affect your life? Would you take that chance as an Olympian?
The crazy thing is we keep talking about the viruses and everything, but Rio right now is more concerned about security risks. They don't have enough security. They're wanting 85,000 security guards or officials, if you will, for the Olympics, but they don't have them. So they're more concerned about security. And as we saw, sadly, again, last night, Istanbul Airport, there was an attack by ISIS. 41 more human beings are dead. More than 230 people are injured. Do you really want to go to the Olympics right now? Really?
Well, no. But if I'm an Olympian, I'm an athlete, and I'm representing, I made it as one of the people to represent the United States of America. Yeah, I don't want to go during this time, but I'm going to do it.
I must be lame because I would rather just take my kids to the movies than be the athlete that was murdered and had a movie made about him. So, yeah.
That's a tough one.
I'd rather just go to the movies with my kids. Man. Seriously.
And I see both. No, I think I'm trying really hard to see both sides of it.
As an Olympic athlete? So that I can, like, when I'm in my 70s, go, I jumped hurdles and got this.
That's amazing.
You know what's sad, though, Dex? You know what's sad? I just read an article. One of the most common things, like, literally, of winning a gold medal is post-Olympic depression. These people fall into horrible depression after winning the gold medal because they have reached the top and that's it.
That's it.
And
that's
then
it.
People forget about them. Yeah. Let me ask you this. Who won the gold for swimming a couple years ago?
Michael Phelps.
Nope.
Lockley. Ryan Lockley.
Was it? Because I don't have any idea and neither do you.
Yeah, but during the time,
at the time,
really
bro,
awesome.
It was huge. He was on Wheaties
and
everything.
That's thing to consider because what we devote our lives to ultimately.
That's
but
it.
But that's
most
person
things
to person.
Do not matter.
That's person to person.
I know.
You can't single every Olympian out.
You
and
can't.
Say,
and you have to go person to person with your thing, too. You can't single every Olympian out and say they're doing the right or wrong
thing. It always comes back to identity, which is like the common theme of the morning invasion. Right. Identity, like where we find our identity. Because, yeah, absolutely, you want to compete. But if that truly is, sadly, for a lot of these athletes, all you have and all that your life's goal is, and apart from Christ, mm-hmm. gosh.
But I see it, though. I see what you're saying, Dex, because I'm right there. It's like, if I have devoted my life to this, and if I have trained it, I don't know if I'm going to let those kinds of threats stop me from going
right.
and winning.
That's quite
you know,
true.
I don't know, because the fact of the matter is, you do face these things after you're done with the Olympics, and one of the other depressions that you face is not winning. You know, and then you're the kid that didn't get to go play at the field day because it got rained out. You know what I'm saying? Like that's the and then you're just faced with like, well, what do I do now? Do I keep training for another four years and hope that I make it? Some young upstart, awesome, better than me Olympian doesn't
either
come
way,
along?
If you don't go, then there's that depression. Because then it's the what if I would have went.
And potential regret.
So if you're going to have the depression, you want the gold standard depression.
You
that's
know what?
The one you want.
If you're training to be an athlete, you're a young person, just stop right now. You don't want these
choices.
You
don't want anything.
Stop it.
Just stop. Okay?
Just give up.
You know what?
Just
give
quit
up.
It all.
Just give up. Not saying that at all. There's just a lot to consider, you know?
There is a lot, Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, so I want to thank Poolboy for his little deviation in topic, but the soldier-athlete thing is kind of an annoying comparison because it's just different. It's different capabilities and talents. I mean, when I joined, it wasn't anything that's like this thing that I had to consider. It was just doing that. And when I hear that, you know, athletes are being compared to that, that's not – people are built for combat. I could never step on a tennis court.
Yeah.
And all the conversations that I've heard, it's all these things about, you know, you have this moral obligation or, you have to have faith. I haven't heard anyone say that, you know, maybe I should just talk to God, pray about it, and be prudent with my time, my talents, and my finances and see if this is the appropriate Olympics for me because it's going to come around in four more years.
Right.
I mean, it's comparable to – I have faith to dance with rattlesnakes. I'm not going to put myself in a dangerous position if God's like, no, this is kind of stupid. You don't need to go do this right now. I have another time for you, you know?
Yeah, like, that's true.
Where is this decision-making process? And when your identity is in Christ and is in God, and you have that stability to have, for him to say, no, don't go right now. I'll give you another chance in four more years.
Amen.
Or there you be, go. Or you know, be, what's his name, the golfer.
Rory. Jack Nicklaus.
I was going to say Rory McIlroy. I don't know.
Rory McIlroy. Yeah, go. You know what? Next year you'll win $20 million at some crazy tournament because you didn't get Zeker. You didn't get blown up.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. All right.
There you go.
Yeah, good stuff.
Thanks, man.
Love it.
Later.
Reminder on the live line for me that you can get shot at the movies just as easily as the Olympics, sadly. Welcome to 2016.
Yes.
Yeah, you'd be the guy that would be scared of going, then you'd stay home with the kids.
Yeah, you can't let fear. I'm kind of trying to take the other side, but I'm like, man, why am I taking this?
But, and remember, guys, this is a different situation. I know we have, quote, political unrest between Republicans and Democrats in America, and I know that, like, mass shootings are becoming more common, but they're still a very uncommon occurrence in the big scope of things here in America. I'm not belittling them, I'm not negating them or anything like that. They happen. It's happening more and more often, and we need to do something about it for real. But we're talking about going to the movies in America versus going to be an Olympic athlete in Rio, where there is crazy political unrest. They've been for years since they booked it in Rio, they've been warning people about the political unrest in Rio. You know, like, since they made the decision.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, also, if you're going to travel there, you need to know about this, 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 and this long list of, like, you need to keep yourself safe.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of stuff down there. I'd say those are two different things.
Sadly, we just totally deflated a prospect. Got a text on the live line saying, I'm standing in the garage practicing with my Olympic bow.
Oh, no.
Then all of a sudden, I hear you guys say, give up.
Give up.
Oh.
Thanks, guys.
No.
Give up.
Failed this city.
And I read that, and then I thought about my son who just joined the archery team for his school with aspirations to one day do great things. But I guess if you're like an Olympic archer, you can take out Zika with your bow.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, you're like Green Arrow, yo.
Yeah. I love what our last caller said, though. I mean, we should be praying about situations like that. And as Christians, our lives should be wherever we go, it's the mission field, you know?
Yeah.
In this city, if we go on vacation, if we're going on a mission trip, wherever, that's the mission field. We represent Jesus Christ, whatever we do. And as an Olympic athlete, a Christian Olympic athlete, think about the impact that you can have on our country and other countries representing as an Olympic athlete. And, you know, I think of the times of going down to Mexico and the chaos that was happening down in Juarez. And we were building churches down there and they're saying, don't go, don't go.
Yeah.
Well, you have to
follow your calling.
You do. You have to follow that. And we knew we took a chance. We knew if we went, there's a chance we might not come back to our kids, but we just give it over to God and trust that whatever happens.
Right. Last person who chimed in on the live line said Jesse Owens and Hitler. I mean, that's it. World War II.
Yeah. 1936 Olympics. Now that was before.
That was.
World War II was really like escalating. It was well before the United States was involved in World War II. And they were, the Nazis basically used that Olympic Games in Berlin to circulate a ton of propaganda about their movement.
Man. Yeah, but he was there.
Is that the movie that came out?
Yeah,
yes,
Race.
That's Race.
That's Race.
Yeah, and it's an incredible story.
I want to see it.
That's true. He followed his calling, just like you were saying.
Yeah.
He knew he had to go, so he went. And that's where I think it's important to remember there are Olympic athletes, especially from other countries, and they know they have to do this. But there are also other Olympic athletes, probably from first world countries, that don't feel like they have to do this.
Shout out to the Starmie member on the live line who just said, it's just like Tupac. He knew he shouldn't have gone to Vegas, but he did anyways and got shot and killed. You got to go no matter what.
Stop.
Thank you, Starmie member.
Stop it.
It's not like
no.
Tupac. Not, it's not like
no,
Tupac?
I don't think
it's
so,
not like
Steve,
that
though.
At all.
Dear no. Mama, I'm going to write a new rap called Dear Zika.
Oh, my gosh.
Dear Zika.
Ah, the Olympic Games.
And then we get these reality updates. Dudes, if you could only swab all the surfaces you touch throughout the day and see what kind of bacteria you're coming into contact with, you would never leave the house. Thank you for perpetuating my fear of
We've got another
breathing.
Another person that says, if a team makes the Super Bowl, players aren't going to stay home because of a virus. And then I said, maybe if the Super Bowl was in Rio? And they said, I don't see any of them not going. And then I'm gonna say, I see all of them not going. Because I see people that are in control of multi-billion-dollar organizations saying, I'm not about to send my team down to Rio so they can all die.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, and that's fantasy because it's all scripted anyways.
Stop it right now. Oh, no.
You know what, though? Something to be said for that. Maybe they need a plot twist.
Maybe. Good call. All right, we have to move on to something else, which is the America's Got Talent.
Oh, no.
Man, I'm excited. I gotta know what's up.
That's right. There was a good one last night, and we will do it when we come back. Hang on.
The Morning Invasion with Dax, Steve-O, and Teo.
High today of 93 degrees.
Good morning.
Traffic!
Taking a look at traffic! Couple of things to report. Vehicle on fire. I-40 West at San Pedro. That might mix it up this morning. Also, there's a rollover and the right lane is blocked. I-40 West at Carlisle. It's backed up to San Mateo, which again is where there is a vehicle fire. Congestion, slow traffic. Watch out for that this morning. That's your look at traffic.
585 Live. You can text the show.
It's time, guys.
AGT last night.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, man. It was a good episode last night. Let's do this. This is Steve-O's favorite part of the show on Wednesdays.
Man, Steve, I'm so glad you came around. You got talent, kid.
Nope.
That's why we do this. That's why we do it.
Hashtag AGT. Now I'm going to have that song in my head all day.
Guys, it was a pretty good episode. It wasn't one of my favorite episodes last night, but it was okay.
Okay.
It was all right.
Nothing crazy of note.
There was a few good acts. We're gonna kick it off with a young man by the name of Ryan Beard. That's right, Beard.
Tell me his story.
Well, you know what? I'll let them
tell it.
That's the wrong one.
Yeah,
my bad.
I was like,
wow, I was like, they use that music too?
Man, Darth Vader over here.
Get him, Darth.
Hello.
Hello.
And who are you?
My name is Ryan Beard.
Ryan Beard, and how old are you, Ryan?
I'm 18 years old.
Nice to meet you, Ryan.
It's nice to meet you too, Simon.
And where are you from?
I'm from Kansas City.
Okay, tell me about you.
I love singing, and I think that this is the place for me.
And you live with your mom and dad?
I do live with my mom and dad, yes.
Okay, and where did you go to school?
I went to school inside of my living room.
Oh,
really? He's a homeschooler.
Here's his story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good job, Mom.
Did you like that?
Oh, how could I not love having my parents there 24/7?
What is the prom like?
What's the prom like?
Lonely side.
You know, you dim the lights, my younger brother comes in, and slow dance the night away.
I like that. So it wasn't your choice, Ryan, to be homeschooled?
It was not my choice, no.
They sort of made you?
Oh, yeah.
What about girls? Did it help you with girls?
Did being homeschooled help me with girls?
Yeah.
I know you're thinking, is this guy a comedian? No, he's not even a comedian.
I wasn't thinking that.
Okay.
Not exactly, no. Not exactly.
So do you have a girlfriend now?
No, I do not have a girlfriend. And also,
man, that girl's just laughing at
him. Never had one, so.
No. Never had a girlfriend?
What's the song you're going to sing?
I'll be doing a song called Ladies Man.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
There it is.
Wow. You wrote it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Look, all the ladies are already standing.
Ladies love him.
I see some ladies are already excited about
him. Gosh. I told you the ladies are going to love him.
You need to watch this, Steve-O.
Why would I have to watch it? It's radio.
Here we go.
I'll just listen.
I'm the type of guy that the ladies just can't refuse.
What?
I'm the guy who understands everything about social cues.
Hi, I like your face.
I bet you're wondering how I got this way. A social butterfly, the ladies never leave alone. Well, the answer is pretty clear. It's 'cause I was schooled at home. Who needs friends or relationships? I can get those things from my cat, Cinnamon.
Yeah.
I could stay in bed till 3 p.m. and be completely naked for my final exams. The only time I thought something might be wrong is when my date to the prom was my
mom. Yeah, that's what I thought it was going to say.
Hilarious!
Because it rhymed. It was really easy.
Don't go to prom with your mom.
Yeah! Cool.
He wins for me. I give it.
Yeah. Really?
Hit the gold.
No!
Confetti or whatever.
Where do you go from there?
No more gold buttons.
You write another one.
I just don't even...
That was Ryan Beard last night.
You cool, get man. So much material from being homeschooled. You never run out of songs.
Homeschooled Ryan Beard.
Hey, Dexter, can you just punch me in the face now?
No.
Because I feel like that's what this segment does every time. Just punch me just hard
Dex
in the head. Face.
Dex, look at me.
Do it. I'm giving you the clear all.
He's giving
man.
You a clear.
Just do
what
it.
What if I did?
Don't punch him in
what
the face.
What if I really just punched him?
In the face?
In the face.
Don't punch him
in
the face.
I just, it would feel about the same as listening to that last one. Just that last one.
He's got his punch ready. Oh! Whoa!
I mean, that wasn't a punch. That was kind of a slap.
Calm down.
It did sound more like a slap.
Yeah, it felt more like a slap to you, girl. Whoa, were you homeschooled like Ryan Beard? That hurt.
If you're just tuning in. AGT time.
I'll never cry.
Also America's known Got as Talent.
Yes, that.
Hey.
Yeah.
Next up, the Smith family.
Okay.
This is a married couple. They're, I guess they're backup singers for Alicia Keys and a bunch of other really famous artists. So this is their story.
Hi. Welcome to America's Got Talent.
Thank you.
What are your guys' names?
My name is Rye.
My name is Whitney.
And we are the Smiths.
The Smiths. The Smiths.
Like we're married.
We're married.
Oh, you're married. Oh, okay. What are you going to be doing for us today?
We sing together.
And do you make a living doing this? Have you been like doing performances, tours? Tell me a little bit
about
that.
We actually work as background vocalists for a lot of major artists now. Alicia Keys is one of them. Chrisette Michelle, Estelle.
Wow. So do you hate the people you're singing for?
No.
Absolutely not. Sorry.
You never hope they're going to fall off stage.
No.
Oh, come on.
Never hate them. I mean, the thing is, they're actually helping us prepare to do what we aspire to do.
There you go.
So it's a great situation
good
for
way
us.
To look at it.
Okay, well, the Smiths, good luck. Enjoy
Thank
yourself.
You. Thank you.
I hope they're doing the Smiths. Punch me, wow. Teo, you'll do it. Punch me in the face.
Punch.
What'd you think? Not bad.
I thought they were good.
That's not.
They were good. Terrible. That was so plain.
That wasn't terrible.
Literally every karaoke person on the planet.
Quiet, I felt Steve-o. Like I was climbing the Sandias with all those trails.
Now this was the big performance.
Wait, that's
of the
it?
Night.
That was
I saw
literally.
You hit your head.
Oh, I did. I hit my nose. That was awful.
This was the big one last night.
Okay.
A guy by the name of Brian. He's 28 years old from San Diego.
Are you okay?
No, I hate this show.
You love it.
No, I'm talking about The Morning Invasion. It's just...
That's our show that we work
hard on. Okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
This young man gets up there and decides he's going to try and do Queen's Somebody to Love. That's a tough song.
Yeah.
I'm going to go on record and say he does it
no,
better.
No. Ugh. Thanks, non-musician.
Okay, go ahead.
Hit it.
Did he forget?
No. Just wait.
Somebody. Anybody find me?
Somebody love. I work hard every day of my life. I work till I ache in my bones at the end.
my heart and pay all on my own. I go down to my knees and I start to pray till the tears run down from my eyes. Lord, somebody, oh, somebody, can anybody find me somebody to love?
Yeah! You got the chills?
Steve-O, I'm not standing up.
Steve-O, you got goosebumps.
Well, it's cold in here.
Those goosebumps.
Me too, yes.
They
absolutely
say I got a lot of water in my brain. I got no common sense. I got nobody left to believe.
Sing it, Brad.
Man, everybody's standing up here. Love. Yeah.
Yeah!
Okay! Dang.
Man!
Super impressive.
That was pretty good.
No way! Simon stood up!
Oh my gosh, he stands up every episode.
No, he doesn't!
Shut up. He stands up every episode.
All I want is for him to start talking and be like,
Hi guys.
Hi. My voice is deeper than the
listen,
river.
Listen.
Yeah!
That was fantastic. If you ever say that anybody out sang Freddie Mercury again, I will find you.
What?
You can't say that. He didn't do better than Freddie Mercury. You're talking about one of the greatest rock vocalists of, like, all time. You can't preface it with that.
Well, my opinion.
Your opinion, stupid.
Well, maybe. I got one more.
Oh, gosh!
Okay.
I thought we were done.
Now,
I'm sorry. To the person on the live line who just texted in and said, please tell me the segment's over, I lied to you. I thought that was it.
Yeah, well, there's two people that want us to stop doing this, and the rest of them love it.
Everybody else is stoked.
Yeah.
Our last one here. Now, of course, we're on the radio.
Mm.
And America's Got Talent.
I hope it's a
juggler. They have a wide variety of talent.
I hope it's a not just juggler. Singers.
I mean, you got people that are swallowing swords.
Okay.
You have people that are getting swords thrown at them. You got magicians.
I love magicians.
You got acrobatic stunts.
Has there ever been an architect?
Maybe architects.
He could get on there and just design a building.
Yes,
that would be amazing.
If you have a talent, you can be on America's Got Talent.
Like he could start, and they could set him over to the side, and he could just continue to draw for the entire show.
That would
show.
Be incredible.
And then at the end, he'd be like, "I got the pillars done, but this is going to take some time. I underestimated the amount of time it would take to draw the west and west wing." Here, but I've got the pillars done.
Oh, man,
yes,
please.
To scale.
Our final act for AGT today.
Mm.
A solo performer. Now, it was funny because the story that they set up for this, he's dressed up as an Indian.
Okay.
And
a Native American or like East Indian?
Native American.
Well, you
Indian.
Have to differentiate. We're on the radio. I'm being honest and sincere.
And his whole story is that he's a solo performer, but he wishes that he had a group of people because he's lonely to perform with.
Okay.
And so he gets out there
so
on
he's
stage.
He's a schizophrenic. Okay, cool. All right, here
and
we
this
go.
Is what happens.
Here we go. Offensive.
Hi.
How you doing?
So
nice
offensive.
Outfit.
Thank you. It's just something I threw together this morning.
Very nice. What is your name?
Christopher.
Hi, Christopher. Where are you from?
Las Vegas.
From Las Vegas. And how old are you, Christopher?
I'm 54.
No way.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
I was gonna
say he doesn't 30. Look a day over 53.
I'm not even going to ask what you're going to do. Let's just watch.
Thank you.
Man, where's he going?
I don't know, but he is scantily clothed.
He just walked
What's
off
happening?
The stage.
What's going on, Nick?
He just blew by Nick Cannon. He's not on stage anymore.
Man, this is... Dex, I know you love this.
Oh, what is
oh
this? Oh! It's the Village People!
No, it's not the Village People.
They're
it's
back!
Got, like, puppets!
Yeah, they're puppets!
Look at that thing!
He's doing the YMCA with the entire cast of the Village People as puppets.
How cool is that?
It's not that cool, man.
Oh, that's some dancing. Do it!
YMCA. I refuse. I'm just gonna play my video game over here.
Look at that!
Man! You gotta listen to that bass.
Yeah. You're not solo anymore, buddy.
That was pretty good. That was real good.
Wait, that was it? That was literally yeah. just a dude dancing with
puppets.
It was
fun, Steve-O.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
That's a great show.
I want to start Tao, coming over
I feel
and watching
like
it.
You know encourage this.
Tuesday nights, man.
Totally okay. encourage
Tuesday
this.
Nights. Steve-O, AGT.
From now on, I'm going to start hanging out with Dex on Tuesday nights.
Yeah.
When the fall, I'll be at his house. We're going to watch AGT.
Hashtag AGT.
That's cool, man. I'm so proud of you guys.
We got talent.
Thanks, man.
You got a ton of talent.
Thank
man.
You. Appreciate it. Steve-O
has talent. I do. Magneto is currently fighting Hawkeye. It's
Magneto.
What's the rule, Steve-O?
Oh, man.
There's got to be punishments if you break the rules, right?
What, doing playing video games during the show? Well, what if you're playing video games during the YouTube video binging that you guys do?
Oh, hey, guys. Look, I just completed the stairs on the western wing. Maybe you guys would like to... Where'd everybody go?
Yep.
This is a talent. Architecture
I'm telling you, America's Got Talent.
Next year, man.
It's drawing.
Can we go on America's Got Talent as a morning show and just start doing the morning show?
No.
What do you mean no?
We wouldn't make it on.
They said everybody. You said everybody. We have different talents.
Sure, we could try out, but we wouldn't make it on the show.
What if we did a hilarious bit as a morning show?
Is this thing on?
Where we did updates from the previous week's America's Got Talent.
Update.
No.
Definitely got those stairs done. I had to whip out the protractor.
Proud of you, man. I mean,
it was it's an old protractor.
That's tough,
my
dude.
My dad purchased it in the 70s, but it's made.
You did a really good
die cast
not
metal.
Can do that.
Wow.
Not
but yeah,
can do that.
I just gotta
melt it down.
I need a little
wheels,
more time. I'm not done.
AGT. What's the live line saying? They're saying they love it.
They love it. Every response, every single person that is literally everyone says. This is the best. This is the best thing I've ever heard. Steve-O, you are so wrong. Why are you so wrong?
Wait a second. We just got the ratings in. Hold on.
Oh, my gosh.
Ratings. Oh, look at that spike in numbers.
Wow.
We went from 17 to 23,000.
It's right when you started the AGT segment.
We went from 17,000 to 23,000. That's a pretty big spike.
Man. Intensity. Yeah. I can't wait. You know what we should do, Dex? Coming back after our break, we should do the AGT segment again so the ratings stay up.
What if I did the week prior to last night?
No, let's not.
I love it.
That's
new audience.
My buddy, the architect, is still working
over
there feverishly. He is just.
How do you feel, Steve-O? You feel alone?
How about this? America's Got Talent, the death of the songwriter. Thanks, Mark, for that email.
But really, how do you feel over there?
I mean, I'm just saying.
Completely alone.
Mark, you should write a song about it.
Come over to our side.
Oh, man.
Come on over.
Yeah. I'll never join you.
We got room.
I'll never join you. Never! Coming up at 8:40, we got an interview with somebody who... has felt all by himself.
You can't say
secret,
that.
Secret interview.
We might not even air it.
We're going to do it live.
Are we going to do it live?
Heck yeah, we are. No, let's do it, guys. Come on. K-Fed on three. Come on.
I kind of want to do
hands
it live.
In.
Well,
hands in.
He ruined it, so we might
Kevin
as well.
Kevin Federline on three. 1, 2, 3. Kevin Federline! Guys, we got K-Fed coming up at 8:40. We're going to talk to him about such things as the Olympics.
I just want to point
America's
out
Got Talent.
The irony of Steve-O being so excited, not about America's Got Talent, not about us recapping it, no,
listen,
but
guys,
about Kevin Federline.
Kevin Federline is joining us at 8:40.
Excited.
But don't send in questions about Britney because he already said he's not going to talk about Britney.
Steve-O said that he can check... this off of his bucket list.
Bucket list,
this
man.
Is a dream of his.
Bucket list.
This is a dream.
It was like Flavor or K-Fed, man, and I was just going for it.
Yeah! Woo!
People are not going to believe that this is actually real because
Kevin Federline.
No, this is real.
Yeah, Britney Spears, Kevin Federline.
He's basically living the life that I dreamed of when I was nine.
He's getting a lot of child
support. He's been a WWE superstar. Hey, he was a dancer for MJ.
Yeah.
He had a reality TV career.
That song that we were just listening to is obviously about parallel universes.
Yeah, it has to. Has to be.
She's talking about how she truly lives her life while she's dreaming. Listen. I live another life. Oh my goodness.
Wow.
When did that come out? The entertainment industry 80s. Is always trying to give us peeks into what's actually happening behind the scenes with the Illuminati. And this one was a huge, there was just a red flag up in the air. Guys, they're changing reality. You don't know. You're going to have two evidences, this song and the Berenstain Bears.
Wow.
I mean, Berenstain Bears. Which reality am I in?
I don't know.
Which fringe is
this? I don't know. Guys, Kevin Federline going to be on the show. We were going to make it secret and just record the interview, but Steve-O said no. We're just doing it live.
We'll do it live!
Because I kind of want to do it live, too.
We're doing it live.
It was me that recommended that we record it.
It was Tao. And then I said, you know, you're probably right, Tao.
Well, it's because what are we going to talk about?
Yeah, if you feel like I kept something from you, I apologize, but I just had a feeling.
Hold on. Think about all of the celebrities that we've interviewed since we've done this show.
I know. Yeah. This is really making me...
Is Kevin Federline really the worst?
It's really making me rethink a lot of the quote celebrities.
By the way, his middle name is Earl.
Oh, no.
Why is that funny?
K-Fed's middle name is Earl, man.
Man, that's messed up.
Wait, why is that messed up?
You're laughing at his middle name.
I'm not laughing at his middle name.
Yes, you are. You made fun of it out loud. You know.
Yep.
Those people are playing volleyball again. What is it? Is it volleyball season?
One of these days, Teo's going to just leave the studio and go out there and just and
confront the volleyball.
I'm going to stab that volleyball with a pin and say, "That's a stabbing!" And then I'm going to kick him out of here. I'm
going to do the volleyball.
Get out of here. We're filling this thing up with a parking lot. They paved over the volleyball court. Put up a parking lot. Mm-hmm.
How do you bring up somebody's ex without bringing them up?
You can only talk about the kids.
Facebook.
See, in the interview, they emailed us and said we're not allowed to
talk about Britney Spears unless it's
about the kids.
Yeah, this is going to be a great interview. Who wants to know about Kevin Federline's music career?
Here's one.
Here's
the thing. Kevin Federline's a big fan of our show, and that's why he requested to be on.
Yeah.
Can we turn him down?
No. He's only doing a handful of interviews, and he chose The Morning Invasion.
Good for us. So. Man, tip top.
Backup dancer for MJ, JT.
There you go.
Death Child.
There's a lot we can talk about.
Yeah, that's how you do it. Instead of asking him about Britney, you ask him about Justin.
Ooh. Yeah.
That's true. How did that work?
I don't know. I'm conniving.
Get your questions in, Starmy, for Kevin Federline. 585 Live. We'll be back.
The Morning Invasion with Dex, Steve-O, and Tao on Star 88.
It's a war zone. There are explosions. There are bombs going off. I can't even describe it.
Hey! What's going on in the news today?
Terror attack at Turkey's largest airport.
In a campaign appearance in Pennsylvania, GOP candidate Donald Trump kept up his attacks on Hillary Clinton.
As long as she is in charge, nothing's going to change.
House Republicans are calling what happened in Benghazi scandalous, releasing a final report, 800 pages.
No U.S. military asset was ever deployed to Benghazi despite the order of the Secretary of Defense.
And the report characterizes the stalled deployment amid infighting over whether permission from the Libyan government was required.
The tributes are rolling in for legendary Tennessee basketball coach Pat Summitt, the winningest coach in college history.
Golfer Jason Day says he plans to have more children so he won't go to the Rio Olympics because of the Zika threat.
Home prices have risen to record highs in several major U.S. cities.
29 million chests and dressers are being recalled by IKEA after toppling units killed six children, including one death 27 years ago.
The private conference board says consumer confidence has hit its highest level since October. Experts say it's been boosted by a stronger job market.
was watching that report.
Hang on, hang on.
On IKEA.
Yeah, Don. Do we have anything from IKEA? Burn it.
Yeah.
I can't believe you really held on thinking he was, like, actually on the phone there.
Thank you, Dex. You were being very
kind. It was very sweet of you.
He was, okay.
I was on the phone with Don.
I was watching that report on IKEA recalling millions.
It's pronounced IKEA.
And they were showing videos because there's been 4 or 5 kids that have died.
Oh, man.
From...
They said
dressers
six,
falling over.
And one 27 years ago.
Yeah. And so they're doing a really cool thing. You can either take it back to the store, and if you can't, they'll come and deliver, or they'll come and pick it up for you.
Wow.
And you can also buy
Will they bring you a new one?
Yeah, they'll give you a new one. You could also get something to attach it to your wall.
Okay.
Yeah, they're sending those out. That's a good idea anyways, if you own a dresser, to make sure you have little kids, because they open those drawers and then they crawl on them.
Just want to harken back to our discussion earlier about Rio real quick. Mm. There's a picture of the police department of Rio. They're holding up a sign. It says, "Welcome to hell. Police and firefighters don't get paid. Whoever comes to Rio de Janeiro will not be safe." That's from the police. So,
are
Olympic
you serious?
Athletes, you guys go have a blast.
Wow. Yeah.
Defend your
There's
honor.
There's no money. Okay, coming up here in just a few minutes. No
Hi
joke.
Today of Kevin Federline.
Oh. No joke, Kevin Federline will be on the show. He is the... Well, he started out as a backup dancer for Britney Spears.
Nope.
Michael Jackson.
Can't say that.
He was a backup dancer for MJ, JT, Destiny's Child, Pink LFO. LFO.
Guys, why can't... Wait, LFO?
Yeah.
Yep. Summertime.
Summertime girls got it going on.
That's right.
Dance and wiggle to a hip-hop song.
That's right.
Are you kidding me?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
This just hilarious.
Got crazy.
Guys, on his Wikipedia, it talks about all the instruments he plays. He can play his vocals. Hmm. That's the only instrument he...
I think we're getting played.
I think
he can also play.
I'm sorry, guys. It was one of those last minute things from Robert, who was like, "Hey, buddy, got a hot interview for you." And I'm like, "Who you got, dog? Show me, show me." And he was like, "K-Fed."
If you're new to the Morning Invasion,
they're calling.
Steve-O got duped into an interview with
Stop
Kevin
it!
Federline.
That's not
here
true.
We go. I think this
weird.
Is him.
Okay. Here we go.
Hang up.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. It's Carl. How
Carl.
Are you?
Carl.
Uncle oh, Carl.
What do you know,
I'm worried.
Carl?
I'm worried, Uncle Carl.
How?
I know.
Everybody's
Uncle
worried
Carl,
about this
right?
interview, dog.
Should we be?
Like,
should we be worried?
Oh, should be worried of what?
Nothing.
The Zika in Rio.
Zika?
No, that's what they were talking about.
We're ready for this interview.
You better be, because so is Kevin. All
yeah,
right. We're ready.
All right, hang tight.
Kevin Federline, here we go.
Yes, dude.
Guys are Dex and Steve-O and Teo in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Good morning, Kevin.
Morning. How you guys doing?
Good. Fantastic, man. How you feeling?
I'm good. I'm good.
Word.
Have you ever, I'm sure you've been through Albuquerque, right?
I think so. It's been a while. It's been a while, that's for sure.
See, if you can't recollect that you've been here, then it has been way too long, and now you have to make a trip back to Albuquerque. Although it's quite
down.
Word.
You know, Breaking Bad tour, you can take that. That's
there you go.
Hot right now.
Yeah.
What else can we do?
Forget Albuquerque. Let's talk to Kevin Federline here. I'm excited about this. We've been talking about it all morning. Kevin, we want to like hit you with the truth. We are a Christian format station. And yet we do things a little different here. One thing we like to talk regularly about is identity, man. And obviously through the years, dancer, rapper, fashion model, actor, husband, father, so many different things. And of course, if you Google Kevin Federline, there's about 1,000 different things that you could discover. Some true, probably some not so much. Thank you, TMZ. But to you, Kevin, right out of the gate, what would you say defines you? Who is Kevin Federline?
Man, I'm just an everyday average dad who followed his dreams.
Yes. I like that answer. We're all dads in here. So
pretty much me.
So talk about being a dad. Obviously, you probably got paparazzi or at least TMZ following you around on the daily. What is it like trying to raise kids in that environment?
I mean, it's not easy. You know, you try to keep as much of it away from them as you possibly can while they're so young.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of a burden for your children. I feel like you know that they're going to be growing up in this limelight life, and I try to give my kids like a sense of normalcy and structure. So, you know, I mean, it's a lot of conversations, a lot of explaining to your kids of like what this type of lifestyle is going to be like and what to expect, and you try to prep them as much as you can for what they're going to have to deal with when they're teenagers.
Yeah.
Stuff.
That's crazy, man. Your kids are getting old, aren't they? They're how old are they going to be? How old is your oldest right now?
Oh, my oldest is, she's going to be 14.
Man. Okay.
Next month. And then it kind of trickles down from there. I have a 12-year-old son, Preston, and Jaden will be 10 and 11.
Wow.
And then my two youngest with Victoria are 2 and about to be 5 in August.
See, I have a 12, a 10-year-old, and then a 3-year-old. Were you excited to, like, reboot, if you will? Because I know for my wife and I, you know, our two older ones, it's like, all right, man, we're hitting Little League. We're doing these things. And then all of a sudden, we kind of, like, flipped the script and rebooted and started over with little Brody. And it's like, man, we're going through diapers again, and we're doing all the baby stuff all over again. We just reset that them moving out button. Was there excitement with that, or were you like, dang it?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it is. It does feel like that. But, overall, I love it. I love my children. Obviously, it's a lot easier after you've had 4, so my younger 2, you know, it's the routine, you know how to handle stuff a lot better. Your first one's always like the nervous, like you're just nervous all the time because you don't want anything to happen.
Right.
And once you realize that accidents are going to happen regardless, you know, you do your best to kind of prepare for everything, but stuff still happens.
That's just
out of your control. But yeah, I mean, the first one's like a big learning experience, and now I feel like a pro. I could probably change a diaper with one hand and one hand behind my back. Yeah,
right?
That's the way it is.
Yeah, teach me how to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. We're talking with Kevin Federline right now. You had an appearance on the WWE back in the day.
Yes, you did.
And would you ever consider going back doing that again?
I would. I just don't know how I'd be able to handle all the slams, and I mean, it's rough on the body.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Dude, yeah, that was a good one.
So much fun, though. I mean, those guys, you know, the family of the WWE is such a great family. It's such a great environment to be around. I mean, these guys, they're amazing at what they do, and I mean, the longevity that they have in it is crazy. Mm.
Go ahead, Dexter.
The fact that it's still around and as big as it is right now, I still, on a daily, still get people hitting me up on Twitter asking me to go back and go get with John Cena again.
See, I know, and he's finally back. It's funny, you watch now, and it's turned into, I mean, more than just when we were kids, you know, watching it, Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant. Now my kids, my boys, they want to watch it. And it seems like you've got Raw and SmackDown, and now there's like reality TV shows, and maybe that's the angle for you to get in, because you know Mick Foley has his own show now, and I know you did that one-on-one with Mick back in like 2007 or something, but it seems like everything's branching out. You mentioned in the beginning the idea of identity and how you were just, you know, that dude that like went after it and fulfilled the dream. Do you see it changing? Because now, as we see, it's the year 2016, and from the beginning of your career to now, that celebrity culture, or like how you make it, has been changed so many different ways and times because of reality TV, because of America's Got Talent, because of, you know, The Voice and everything going on. Do you think it's easier to be part of that culture now?
I mean, it depends. It seems to me now that like social media has taken over everything. So if you're somebody who's really good at social media and you know, people find it interesting and you gain this massive following on social media, I mean, you can turn it into an empire.
Yeah.
I mean, look at what DJ Khaled is got his own show on Snapchat now. They're turning it into like a reality series because of how good he is. I mean, he literally is running his life on Snapchat like a TV show, and it's like working 100%.
Man. So, Kevin, talk about what you're working on right now. What do you got coming up?
Gosh, I just released a record called Hollywood, where we're kind of, you know, we're poking fun at Hollywood and some of the memes that have come out, back around the first of the year. That was such a fun project. I'm just, you know, DJing now, it's kind of got me back into the music, which, for me, as a dancer and my love and passion of music, it's always been about the music. So to be able to get back to that is just, I'm in such a great place now. You know, I took some time off to spend with my kids because you just don't get it back, you know, when they're that young. I wanted to make sure that I had a good grasp on all of my kids. So I took a few years off, and now that I started DJing, I mean, it's just back to work as usual, right back in the studio and making records. And I got a lot of, like, dance music-infused records that I'm going to drop, and remixes and producing. I'm just busy, 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 man.
Do you find it ever tough to, like, juggle, especially when you're rocking, you know, DJ gigs, being in the club to, like, 3 a.m., and then you go home, and I'm sure the kids still decide to wake up at, like, the butt crack of dawn. Do you find it difficult, like, DJing, and then you're still, like, rocking dad status, like, 3 hours later? How do you juggle that?
It's tough, man. It's tough. I mean, thank God for school. Because as soon as I get them off of school, I can come home and take a nap.
There you go.
But yeah, I mean, you know, it is tough. It is, you know, but it's one of those things that, like, I'll sacrifice my sleep any day for my kids and my career.
Yeah. Mm. Amen.
That's good, man. Well, hey, thank you so much for talking to us, Kevin.
Thank you guys so much.
All right, man. Take care.
All the best. Thank you so much.
Take care.
All right. You too.
Well, it was,
You're the worst!
It was a little bit better than I imagined.
You're the worst!
Mind.
It didn't go south.
And
it started there and never moved.
You raised your hand to ask a question!
It's not my fault if he answers it the way he does, it's not my fault. He responded with two words.
Gosh.
That's not my fault. He had a chance to talk about
I will
the
say
WWE.
This. I will say this.
It's true.
That was amazing that after like 3 seconds of silence, because he gave you like the two-word answer and nobody said anything, he went on to like continue answering your question.
Exactly.
It was good. It was good.
Yes.
And he was like, oh, they want more than just a two-word.
Yeah,
oh,
yes. He did good.
He did a good job. K-Fed, yo.
Okay. Steve O.
I didn't call him K-Fed once. I wanted to so badly.
Steve O booked and approved. Boom.
Okay.
I didn't tell him to hang up on himself.
It's tough.
Dang it! Get him to hang up on himself.
I feel like that would have been the wrong thing.
I will
to
say this. Off air, we were talking about the persona that is K-Fed and what we anticipated him to be like, his character, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed much kinder and cooler and older and chill.
Well,
I was not
like
expecting that.
You looked up other interview, right, transcripts, and it was like, oh, no.
Yeah I looked up old stuff, and I was like, oh, guys, oh, no. We got to be careful. And then it was like, yeah, man, I'm a dad, and I'm older, and I'm wiser, and I'm just chill. And I'm
right.
Like, okay.
Well, it's hard when you're supposed to interview a person who is famous, basically, for marrying someone who we are told we can't even ask about.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's the only reason I think any of us know who Kevin Federline is because he...
Oh, man, I was all about those JT videos. He's a phenomenal dancer. Wait, what?
I think the reason, if I'm not mistaken... If I'm not mistaken, I think he has to stay away from talking
probably
about Britney.
Probably a legal thing.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
I'm pretty sure.
Well, I mean, that stinks for him because it's like, thinking of it that way, I mean, that's like his claim to fame.
Yeah.
He would want to further his career by using that, and he can't legally.
Plus, so a mother of like, his children as well.
Right.
I mean,
so
I
get that.
I respect that.
I see that too. But then also it's like, so you were on WWE? Yeah, man.
Okay. Well, I mean, we don't have anything in common, KJ.
Well, here's like the, here's the thing. We're
interviewed a book.
Talking about, you know, the Britney Spears thing. She kind of went a little cray-cray there for a little while. Because you think about it, and dating back to 2008, maybe this is partially why I didn't want to talk about it. She went off the deep end, and in 2008, he took her to court and won and retained sole legal custody of the children. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, that's still got to be a hard subject to talk about. And that's deeply personal, and it's not something he probably wants to talk about.
I wouldn't even ask what he's currently doing. Either.
That was a decade ago.
Yeah.
A decade.
I know. I remember when all that stuff was going down.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Kevin Federline was just on the show. And
that's right, it happened,
very,
guys.
Very strange.
The world
weird.
Was changed.
It was, but nothing, you know, nothing real big happened during the interview. It was
can't imagine that.
Just a conversation about parenting, and that was about it.
Yeah.
But hey, he sounds like he's a pretty good dad.
Yeah, and that's it, man. That was it. Was
he took
cool.
a lot of time off to be with the kids, which is important.
He definitely made his kids a priority, which is the best.
And not everybody does that. Not everybody stays. Not everybody makes their kids priority. Not everybody, you know. Yeah. So
last night, speaking of children, I was watching Johnny. And normally, Johnny will only fall asleep if either Dawn is there and, you know, she can hold him and feed him. Or if I, like, rock him to sleep. I have to walk around and to sing to him and then he'll fall asleep. Well, last night, it was a complete game changer because Johnny... I would pick him. He was tired. He was like wiping his eyes and, you know, kind of like that. But instead of wanting me to hold him and walk around, he wanted to lay down on the couch. He kept pointing to the couch. And then I would walk over there and he would kind of lay back.
Mm-hmm.
So I would lay him down, but he wanted me to sit there. Because if I got up and went over to sit on the floor or in the chair, he would go, sit up and like motion for me to come back. So I went over there and I was just like sitting by him on the couch. And you got to understand, he's never done this, to my knowledge, like, not with me. He's never done this. He just wanted to lay there and watch his show.
With his dad.
His baby genius sing-along songs, which now I know every children's sing-along song from my youth. I know it with different words, slightly different melodies. They changed the ABC song. I don't know how they did it, but they did it. And he's laying there, and then he looks over at me. And then I smile at him, and then he just smiles back at me.
Oh.
I feel like it was one of those first moments of acknowledgement where he was kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
We can be friends.
Finally.
I can do finally, this. Man. You know? Like, okay, I want you around. And it felt really, really good.
That's
and then
good.
He fell asleep.
Mm.
And then I tried to watch Batman Superman Ultimate Edition.
And then fell asleep.
I started it too late, and it was 3 hours long, and I only got about an hour in. And I did nod off for a second, but then I woke back up and I said, it's okay, I've seen it.
Yeah.
Wait, did I miss something new?
That's awesome.
But it was cool. It was a neat moment for me. I told Dawn, I was like, Dawn, he didn't want me to walk him around. He wanted to lay down.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And so I hope that it's especially for her, because poor Dawn, like, if anybody doesn't get any sleep in this world, it's Dawn.
Mm.
She never sleeps.
Yeah.
She's an insomniac. I wake up and she's just... like floating over the bed,
okay, that's
beady
not,
red
that's
eyes, like
real,
looking at me, and she's like,
"Those are dreams."
Help
also
me.
Called nightmares.
Like, hey, man, I'm in the same boat.
Yeah,
but it's
terrifying.
Different. She's got a little one to take care
How
of.
How does she float though?
Oh,
guys, did I marry like a secret forest witch? I can't say that loud.
I can't speak.
She
to
might
that.
Hear me.
I don't know.
But anyway, yeah. So I'm hoping that Johnny will. This is a turn,
and it's a turn.
Just hearkening back to KFed, it sounds like his kids.
Right.
He really took the time to spend time with his children because he realized at some point, and you know, it had to have happened where he realized, okay, nobody cares about me.
Mm. Well, somebody on the live line said, regardless of what his personality might be, it's always been said that he was a good dad or is a good dad.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. Imagine being husband of such a major, major celebrity who went off the deep end and literally everything you do just chronicled in front of the world.
See, I wish we could have talked about that. Like, that would have been the greatest thing to really clue in. Because like you said, we always talk about identity.
Yeah.
Put yourself in that guy's shoes.
That's,
He is only famous for marrying Britney Spears and then her going nuts, and he had to rescue his kids.
Yeah.
You know?
Whatever, dog. His commercial during the Super Bowl was amazing.
We should have brought that up because that was hilarious.
That was hilarious. That was
pretty
good. I loved
that. Was the turning point for him. That's probably where everybody said, you know, that
man,
okay,
that guy's funny. He laughed at himself.
Yeah. He's not so I remember when he was on Celebrity Fit Club. Mm-hmm. Remember that reality show?
Yes.
No, I never watched that.
It's like The Biggest Loser, but with celebrities.
Yeah. I don't watch it.
And he
of
gained a bunch of weight. I mean,
really?
He was huge. And, yeah, he went on that show and he lost a bunch of weight.
Good story, bro.
Proud of him. Man, guys, also, I want to just acknowledge the fact that B-Flow, our friend B-Flow,
I don't know who that is.
Is just creepy.
She's amazing. I just showed her the Tin Man on the
here you go.
On the web.
Here you go, Dex. Look, you know,
whoa.
Normal.
Look, buddy.
It's a B-Flow.
She's like look, watching B-Flow. Us on the webcam and it's weird.
Webcam!
Hey, by the way, we need an update there, B-Flow.
Well, yeah, we do.
Is your co-host, is she nice?
Is she still being mean to you? Because that's what we heard in the trades.
The trades. They just won an Emmy.
Make sure that everything's
all right. So that's kind
of cool. You need to update.
Just won an Emmy.
B-Flow didn't win it. Mm-hmm.
Shout out to K-Fed. Thanks for the interview.
Thank you, K-Fed.
It was good. Just another reminder that we're all human beings.
Yeah, you always say that every time.
Well, somebody on the limeline said, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody has those days. I don't know.
What are they talking about?
It says a lot about somebody's character when they persevere through stuff like that.
Yeah.
So...
okay, what do we got on deck here, guys?
Oh, the best of Justin Timberlake's dance music videos.
No.
Cool. On
no.
the way.
Transgender.
Oh.
We're going to jump back into that.
Wait, what?
Remember, you're the one who said to put the...
Oh, we're going to discuss it. Okay.
Transgender.
Yeah.
It says transgender fluid
prom queen.
Prom queen.
Yes. We're going to talk about the prom queen coming up.
And 4th of July fail. We got one. Another friendly reminder, this 4th of July, be responsible when lighting a firework. You could blow your hand off. Hang out.
The Morning Invasion with Dax, Steve-O, and Teo.
We are back.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, is this thing on? Hello, can you guys hear me? Hello.
I can hear you
check,
now.
Check, check. One.
I can hear you now.
Check two.
Check. Check, please.
Teo.
Check, please.
907.
High today of 93 degrees. It's the worst.
It's not the worst. It's not so bad. Comparatively. Not seeing any accidents popping up. Oh, wait. Eubank at Academy.
Uh-oh.
We've got an accident. And
it's
also,
never good.
An accident. The shoulder is blocked. I-40 East at 4th Street. That's exit 159A. That's your look at traffic, guys.
Traffic!
This Saturday, join us, Isotope Stadium. A freedom celebration, if you will. We're going to have fireworks. For King and Country. Hawk Nelson. Battle Drums. Evening Invasion. That's us. We'll be hanging out for a couple hours. Starting at 4 o'clock. 4 to 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Did he light it up?
Light 'em up, up, up.
Light 'em up, up, up.
Join us.
Oh. Oh. Okay. All right.
All right.
I read you.
You got that?
I read you loud and clear, buddy.
Good.
Glad,
glad to hear it. Just love it.
Yeah.
Love
no,
it, guys.
Loving it. Loving it. Loving
just
it.
Lighten them
just
up.
Loving
just
it.
Lighten
just
them up.
It.
There it is. Boom. Whoa. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh,
man, that's a stinky one.
The fireworks. It's sulfuric. Sulfuric acid.
That's right, man. Mm.
Yeah.
Lighten them up on the 4th of July.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
That's how we do it.
So I just got a text on 652 Cats.
No, you didn't.
That
did
exists
you really?
Still?
It's still around.
Are you kidding me? It's so busy.
Oh.
I had no idea.
This person says, I'm a cat lover who is from Rio de Janeiro. They live in Albuquerque now. I hope you don't mind me using the space to speak out over the way the media has blown out of proportion the fact that the Olympic event is happening in Rio.
Mm.
Are they really, though?
And I said, tell us.
Give me her phone number. We're going to call her.
It could be a dude,
no,
I guess.
I just...
Hello, guys. I'm a Starmie. Just FYI, the media is just blowing things way out of proportion regarding the Rio Olympics, and I know what I'm talking about. I was born in Rio de Janeiro and never had a gun pointed at me. Neither has my mother or any relatives.
It's because they don't point guns at babies.
Who have lived all of their lives in Rio.
Oh.
Also, just so you know, Dex is right. No one is guaranteed tomorrow. Here's why. I've been a resident of New Mexico since 1995. And I've had a gun pointed at me twice
in
the greater Albuquerque area. Yeah. Once inside a Circle K, and the second time when my car was stolen from me at gunpoint.
Yeah, Albuquerque.
My family in Rio are in awe that this has happened to me and wonder, is it safe to come visit me in Albuquerque?
See?
Wow, what am I supposed to say to them?
Look at that.
All right. I read you.
So okay. What do we say?
Maybe the media is blowing it out of proportion.
Maybe so. I mean, I agree when I read articles from like CNN or Fox News or Yahoo, typically any American source. But you got to wonder when you read stuff off of the BBC.
That's true.
Traditionally, the BBC, they're out of our game over here.
Yeah,
that's
true.
You know, they exist outside. And so that's where I read the article today about the police warning people flying in about how, you know, they don't get paid and the fire people don't get paid and you will not be safe.
Yeah.
Maybe they're doing it too.
Maybe.
I mean, there's a picture of the police just standing there holding up this giant banner in the airport.
Yeah.
And it's the police.
Thank you for that update.
Yeah, thanks for texting in. 652-CATS.
Before we move on to our next topic, we have our first 4th of July related injury.
Oh, no.
A guy in North Dakota was using a cap gun on his friend's car on Monday, right after they bought a bunch of fireworks. Sparks from the cap gun set them off. They destroyed the car, and the guy ended up with third-degree burns. So he had fireworks hanging out in the car. He had a cap gun. The sparks ignited the fireworks. Kaboom. Kaboom.
Whoa!
Guys, be careful. You know, we live in the desert. So probably not a good idea setting off fireworks this year.
Yeah.
Those fires get out of control real quick.
Yeah, they do. You got to be very careful.
Yep. So be careful.
I will, Dex. Thank you.
All right. Let's move on. Steva?
What's he giggling at? What's he laughing at?
Where are we going?
I already told you. Oh, my gosh, because you're not paying attention. You're on your phone.
Fine.
You're breaking rules left and right.
I'm not breaking rules.
You've been breaking rules. I told you.
I know. We're going here. I already. I know. We're talking about himself. Prom Quing. Yeah, that was the winner. That's the winner.
Those hair bows?
Those are flowers in her hair.
In her hair? That's... No. No. It's not okay.
Do we want to talk about this now?
You're the one who brought it up! You're the one who put it in the prep!
I did, but it's the 9 o'clock hour.
Yeah!
All right.
That's when we do this.
Well, guys, it seems like the gender identity, I don't want to call it a crisis because I don't want people to think I'm mocking. However.
What's your face doing?
Betraying my heart.
Oh, Steve.
Listen, last week we talked about how a guy or a girl, a lady... Someone who was born a male but wants to be a female decided to run in Alaska in female athletics, and people were like, no, that's not acceptable because it's a dude. And it's like, no, but she prefers to be a she. But it's a he, but it's a she. And so that we talked a lot about testosterone and athletics. Well, the this isn't transgender. This is different. This is gender fluid, people. Okay? This is something
else.
What's that? Well, to let you in on this... Matthew is the person's name who was born male but is non-binary.
Explain that.
Non-binary means he does not identify as either gender. He's not male or female.
Right in between.
Just nothing. I am a human being, and that is what defines me. I am non-binary.
Has that been around a long time?
I don't know.
It was in Zoolander 2.
Yeah. All. This character is all. But this is a real person.
Played by Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yes.
And he even said in the movie, I do not want to be confined by binary restraints.
I guess it should come as no surprise because this school is a famous performing arts high school in Manhattan. It is the high school that, LaGuardia High School of the Performing Arts. It inspired the hit 1980 film Fame, popular TV show of the same name. This is the school that inspired Fame. Mm. All right. Matthew Christen, who was born male but wants to be non-binary, accepted the honor of prom queen in a glittery gold cocktail dress and matching shawl, an outfit inspired by Gustav Klimt's painting The Kiss. That, according to the teenager's Instagram. Some girls who attended the school were obviously less than thrilled for him. For the person?
Her.
No, because you can't say her, because this person is non-binary,
then
meaning
why,
they don't identify as male or female.
Why is she wearing a dress, and why did they call her queen if they're...
That's exactly why we're talking about this. Yeah. Welcome to 2016. Because he... I'm not going to say she. He identifies as non-binary. He was born male, but chooses not to go by a gender. Does not believe in gender. It's kind of like those that don't believe in God. That's cute. Have fun. You don't have to. I'm sorry I'm being crass about this. It's just frustrating. He won prom queen and people are furious.
Yeah.
Backlash of rants broke out on social media. Quote, it just sucks that men win everything and we thought we at least deserved one thing. End quote, one student said. Quote, I know I go to LaGuardia because a boy won prom queen. End quote. Hundreds of replies before Facebook finally decided to remove the post. In light of the controversy, a slew of people are now rising to the teen's defense, including the newly crowned prom king, who calls himself, this is his real name, Christian and nothing else matters.
What?
Is that
yes,
really?
that's the name of the person. Christian, middle name and nothing else,
yep,
last name Matas, M-A-T-A-S. It's June of 2016 and people are being terrorized for their gender, race, and identity, he said. Y'all are bullying people on social media acting like animals, but it's okay though. God don't like ugly. Congratulations to Matthew on winning prom queen. You deserve it. Sincerely, the prom king. End quote.
I think that's great.
Are you kidding? Are you really going to take the stand? Because we're going to take opposite stances.
No.
You don't have to take the opposite side on this one, buddy. We can totally agree that this is stupid.
I think...
No, this is stupid.
What was wrong with that?
Because it's prom queen. It's prom queen.
You know what you sound like?
It's
one of the haters on Facebook.
I am, because this is stupid. First of all, this isn't a transgender conversation. This is a non-binary conversation, because this dude chooses not to be identified as male or female.
Who cares? It's a person. You're the one who always says human being.
Yeah. Prom queen.
Human being.
Human queen.
No, human being.
That's right. Prom being, then. Okay? Change the title. We're just going to start handing out prom being and being.
I was reading here, and I think you even said it, that Facebook had to take down the post.
Yes.
Because there was so much hate involved on that post.
Hey, I've since deleted my comments. I'm just kidding.
Oh my God. I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm just kidding.
Because honestly, you're kind of
prom queen
sitting in that boat right now.
No, this is
you're
different.
You're hating.
Prom queen.
Who cares?
And this isn't somebody who was born a male who says, I want to be identified as a female. They don't want to be. That's not what they're saying.
Okay, it might be weird to you, but you know what? That's fine. If that's what they want to do. Are we not called to still love them and treat them as a human being?
Okay, here's my question. Here would be my immediate question to Matthew, and this is my honest question to Matthew. He was born a male. He doesn't consider himself male or female. He's non-binary. Why did he go out for prom queen and not prom king, if it doesn't matter to him?
Maybe he likes
if it
dresses.
Doesn't matter if it's if because he chooses to be gender fluid, meaning boy or girl, it doesn't matter. If it doesn't matter, why did he choose to go for prom queen?
Probably to
and
prove
not prom
a point.
King. Exactly.
Yeah, you have to pick one, and he probably it looks like He's wearing a dress.
Oh, so you just identified him as something he chooses not to be identified as because he says he isn't female.
Yeah, but just because he's wearing a dress doesn't mean in his world that he is a female. Obviously, it
right,
doesn't.
So why go for prom queen? Why not just go for prom king? Why not just win it as prom king? Because if they don't care about their their sexual identity, if it doesn't matter, why not go for both?
You tell me what a gender fluid person wears. What kind of clothes does a gender fluid person
apparently
wear?
Apparently a shawl and a dress. That's what he wore to his coronation.
Well, you're making fun of it. Saying it's wrong.
No, I never said any of that. What I am saying is if it really is one of those things, if they truly had a solid conviction where it's like, I choose not to be identified as male or female, but I'm going out for the female role.
Why
didn't he go for both?
Answer the question. Why does it
bother
you so much?
Because it's obviously just a statement, and of course it was to prove a point. Obviously. Did he go out for prom king and queen if he doesn't care about gender? No. He went for prom queen.
This person says, I'm feeling so triggered right now, I might call in.
Ooh.
Do it.
338-3700 if you'd like to call us.
Please
or
do.
Or text 585-LIVE.
There were students who were very proud of Matthew. They said, quote, very awesome. Strides in our LGBT community have taken this year. In an age filled with so much hate, isn't it time we celebrate our differences? Love loudly, my darlings. End quote. Now, of course, there are people, parents as well, that were outraged because, he's male and he took the queen role. Why not? If you're non-binary, if you choose to be non-binary, gender fluid, meaning you don't identify male or female, why choose one then? Why not go for both? Or why go for it?
I think that's why they call it fluid.
Maybe it's both.
They're insinuating that they can choose whichever they want whenever they want. That's why it's fluid. A fluid will take the shape of whatever container it's poured into, and that's the whole thing. They can take whatever shape they want depending on the day.
Congratulations to Mystique.
That's a mutant.
Right. Who takes whatever shape she wants.
Somebody just texted in a live line, hey, Teo, how is it going? It's spelled T-E-O. It's pronounced Talionun.
See, there you go. Somebody just chimed in on the live line and said, by accepting prom queen, he's identifying as a female.
Right, but guys, here's the thing. That when we say fluid, this is within that. They can, like, a person who is gender fluid can pick day to day. So this is within those parameters. That's not an argument in this conversation. Yes, Matthew chose to be a girl that day. He identifies as gender fluid. The next day he could have chosen to be a boy. Throw that whole thing out. That's not what we're talking about. This is not a transgender situation.
No.
This is further. This is gender fluidity.
Yeah, here's the definition. Gender fluid is a gender identity which refers to a gender which varies over time. A gender fluid person may at any time identify as a male, female, or any other non-binary identity or some combination of identities.
Their gender can also vary at random or vary in response in different circumstances. Yeah. Fluid.
There you go. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Talk
morning.
To us.
Is this a safe space?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So, yeah, I guess you guys just touched on everything I wanted to say. Because it's not what you guys were saying wasn't gender fluidity, but something else. But also, this is, I don't know, this is all crazy coddling of nonsense. People are born a certain way, genetically, biologically, they're born a certain way. I mean, if they want to be something else, cool, but me being identifying as an attack helicopter doesn't make me that. I can't join the military and then go fight wars in other countries, is that? But so this whole argument's nonsense. I mean, if somebody wants to be it, whatever, cool, go have fun. But aren't needing to talk about this, is this really that important?
Hang up on yourself.
No! It's not Kevin Federline.
You can't say that.
Hang up on yourself.
Yeah, I mean, you can. Have a great day, man. Thank you so much.
338-3700, good morning.
Hi. I had a comment on the topic.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
They can't hear
you. Okay, sorry. So I guess I was just kind of conversation about gender fluidity. Mm-hmm. I think in general, I think the reason why a lot of people are outraged is, one, because it's just not as widely known. But secondly, I think if the roles were reversed and a woman had identified as gender fluid and then won prom king, I don't think it nearly would have been as big of an issue necessarily. I don't think people would have made it as big of an issue or taken issue with it.
Okay.
Huh. I think that's a good point.
All right.
I think there's a lot of, and you know, not to say that, you know, women should have equal rights, equal opportunity, but I think a lot of times with situations like this, when there's strides for women, it's like a really big deal. But again, it's the same thing. Like, I think women feel that same way. Like, when something's taken away, when we don't have that much available to us, and we right. are still fighting so hard for it, it's hard to not take it personal.
And that's what a lot of the females at the school were saying, is that, mm-hmm. you know, in this age where men, quote, get everything, this is the one thing,
yeah.
you know, this is one more thing that has been taken away, if you will. So,
yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I don't necessarily think, you know, one way or another. I just think in general, if the roles were reversed, it might have been a completely different reaction, you know, widespread.
Yeah, okay.
It will be interesting to see over the next, like, 10, 15 years how the gender political talk and discussion influences feminism.
Well, it's going to be very interesting come November, because right now, currently, looking at the political race, mm-hmm. we could very well be looking at a nation that is run by a female.
Because from my perspective, and this could be completely uninformed, so forgive me if I offend you, I am not trying to at all. But from my perspective, if you have a woman who is a very strong feminist, but then goes along with a lot of this stuff, is she not essentially just handing over everything she's worked for, just like right. our caller pointed out?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah.
This is what happens when we don't redefine things, but we undefine things.
Yeah.
This is the consequence of undefining anything.
And that's somebody just chimed in from Berlin on the live line saying, something I've noticed about this the LGBT etc. movement, it's made up of a lot of people who are very confused about who they are. The definition keeps changing, you know, which I think is another reason why we talk so much about identity on this show.
Right. Good morning!
What's up, guys?
Hey! Hey!
Hey, it's I think there has come a point where I have to identify myself right now as Adam, Becca's husband. You see that little qualifier that I add to that?
There yeah. you are, Adam.
But hopefully there'll come a time where I don't have to use that qualifier.
There you go. You can just be Adam.
I don't think we're there yet.
You can but, be Adam to me, man. You're Adam, bro. Just be like, hey, it's Adam.
No, I was just kidding. That was a side note. But I do think that on your guys' issue, look, this is, it, you know, to me, this is post-modernity, which its fruits of it are deconstructionism, just run rampant. You know
yeah,
what
yeah,
I mean?
Totally.
And I think the problem that the Christian community has is that we don't have good arguments. And I'm broad brushing, of course, because it's a radio show.
Right.
But we don't have
broad brushing. I love that.
To combat in this. And I think that's the biggest issue, is that we need to understand postmodernity for one, and then deconstructionism for two, and how we now go through and, because the question isn't so much is how do I identify, but it's a question that they're backing up and they're saying, well, what is gender?
Yeah, yeah.
What
yeah.
is it? Well, you know, and then we kind of chase our tails arguing over it, and then, like I said, I think it's a quagmire, because it goes into various different things. But one of the things I think has to do with our freedom and our equality. Mm-hmm. We want freedom, but yet we want equality, and sometimes the two are mutually exclusive, but we grapple and we jock for position politically and socially. But I think the roots of it are postmodernity and deconstruction.
Totally.
But thank you, Adam.
Yes, I completely agree with you too. And he's touching on something that's very, very important, because we are operating within a society, within a culture that is deconstructing yeah. everything. If you're a Christian out there and you are entering in this kind of discussion, I completely agree with Adam. We don't have a lot of answers for it, because our main answer is, well, the Bible says this.
But you have to remember that you are engaging with someone that does not hold the Bible as a foundational reference at all. It's not an authority to them.
Exactly.
So when you remove that as an authority from somebody's life, why are they going to answer to what you say is the authority? We have to remember that. So the question doesn't really become for Christians, how can I present you with my definition that you don't believe? It's not that. It's, okay, they don't agree with me. They don't recognize the Bible as authority.
Right.
I don't know if I'm ever going to convince them to do that. How do I love this person?
Exactly.
That's where our conversation should start.
Yeah. Yeah, and if this person who's gender fluid wants to be the queen, do we not just continue to love them, or do we?
But what does that mean?
We step back and go, no, man, that's not right, and that's not okay.
I think that's why we're having this conversation, because I don't think you can just throw that away and say no. We just continue to love them and allow them to, you know, whatever. Yeah, if a dude wants to, you know, say today he's feeling like a female, so he's going to go after this female specific role, then right on. I don't necessarily know that that's acceptable.
Then how do we show Christ to that person? How is it that we show as Christians?
That's my question.
Right, no, but that's what I'm saying. That's a great question. I don't have that answer right now because I don't necessarily know how that is possible in terms of, well, I want to love this person because I can still listen. And I'm going to use this analogy that I'm sure people have heard many a times. Mm-hmm. All right. I love my children. I love my children so much. But if my children make a mistake, if my children do something wrong, I still have to discipline them or correct them. It doesn't mean I don't love them any less. It's because I love them that I am willing to correct my children. And of course, we know that biblically that that's what God says, because he reproofs those he loves, right? He loves us. So if this is something that, and I'm not saying it is right or wrong, but I mean, as this email, this is a Christian quote perspective, all right, from one of our listeners who says, guys, let us be candid and call this what it is. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. This is what a lack of good education system and structure, i.e. real leadership in schools, leads to in a country. This isn't about discrimination either. God designed and equipped us with the right plumbing at birth. Now we could get into other statistics and talk a little bit more about like hermaphrodite, this and whatever. But this is what God doesn't make mistakes. We've heard that before. They say gender confusion for any reason is just that, the confusion of sinful man. And I do mean man. If you have confusion of what man refers to, this is another pointer to the lack of education in our country. Man, when referred to in the Bible, means mankind, men and women, those created in the image of God. Anyways, my two cents, let's call it what it is.
I don't think there's any confusion on what they just wrote. I'm not confused. I agree with everything they just said right there. But as a Christian, how do we respond to a person? Let's say we went to school with somebody that was gender fluid.
Mm-hmm.
How do we show Christ? I would think through a relationship with that person, a friendship.
I don't think you would walk up to that person and be like, you're an idiot and you're wrong.
Well, this is my question then. Then why are we using an example of our children?
That's what I was just going to say. You brought up your children, but that's completely different
because this is a separate person.
This is someone you don't know.
Like, are we as Christians supposed to treat the world as our children?
No, but I'm talking about the idea of reproofing. You guys say, going all the way back as we talk about this, going all the way back to the definition of love. Fine, put it back on you. What does it mean to love somebody? What does that mean?
Well, if I'm
you
to
say,
love, if
we're
I'm
called
to
love
like
somebody,
God
what does that mean?
Loves me, then I'm to love them unconditionally.
Yeah. Hey, man,
if they don't agree
do
with me,
hey.
I'm supposed to still love them. I'm supposed to still serve
them.
Yeah,
but answer my question.
To get to know them,
what
to
does,
serve
them. Okay.
Just leave it at that? No, to start a relationship, and if they need something, hey, I'm here for you.
Yeah.
And you go from there. You start with the relationship.
You don't end there.
But you don't come out of the gate saying,
okay,
you're wrong.
You can't, because a relationship would imply time and effort.
Absolutely. I'm agreeing 100% with what you were saying in this moment, that it does start there.
Yeah.
But what I'm not saying is that it ends there, because I don't believe it ends there.
Absolutely.
We do have to have dialogue. Mm-hmm. We do have to have conversation, because if someone is, quote, wrong, they're still wrong.
They're still wrong.
It doesn't mean I walk up to that person in the hallway of my school because, you know, they're gay or they're gender fluid or whatever they are and go, you're an idiot, you're wrong. I would never do that. And obviously, there's a difference between Steve-O, the personality on radio mm-hmm. for a conversation, and real life me. You guys know I never, ever walk up to a stranger and do that.
We know that.
However, I think we can become too passive and just throw out the word love and say that we just leave it there. And that just means we're just so gentle and accepting and affirming of everything that's happening.
Well, yeah.
And it doesn't mean that either.
I think the kid example is bad then. Because when we discipline our children, we discipline them then.
Right.
There's a pre-existing relationship.
I was just about to say, but there is a pre-existing relationship.
And so with other people, we can't compare them to children because we don't have a relationship necessarily.
Okay, then I apologize because you guys asked me about the idea of love, and I'm talking about what that means to love someone. Yeah. I love my children, right? And so because I think there's – when we talk about like, oh, we're just called to love, what does that mean? That's also that's a stupid Christian cliche that is thrown out saying,
I don't think
I'm just called to love. Okay, then
I don't think it is. I just told
then
you.
Then what does it
when
mean?
When we're called to love, that means
we different people in different ways.
Exactly. Right. When we want to meet somebody, we go to them and we introduce ourselves. We start with a hello. We start with that. I think that's love. I mean, that's going to somebody and then starting that friendship, that relationship. If you went to that person and just automatically slam the door in their face.
Yeah, no relationship. That's why I say we're starting the conversation off incorrectly.
Yeah.
Because we are starting as if we are disciplining people that we don't know, that we don't have, quote, the right to discipline. But then I also understand the other side of it, because the line to walk as a Christian is like, wait a second, am I condoning something that God says is wrong?
Right.
But at the end of the day, my friend, I think truly within grace, we have to leave that up to God. Because if we're going to reform relationships with people, you have to be willing to invest time and unconditional love, just like God does with you.
Right. Yeah.
And if we started off by saying, hey, guess what? You're wrong.
Right.
And you might not even say it meanly. You might say it super loving, like, hey, I love you so much, and you're my friend, but you're wrong.
Yeah.
You are essentially ending a relationship.
You are.
You know, you can't start off relationships like that. I think it goes back, and some people will definitely disagree with me, I think it goes back to Jesus' parable about the Good Samaritan. Mm. Because essentially, in that culture, the Samaritan was the most marginalized person in Jewish culture. If we have anybody like that today, and we can apply it so many different ways. You can apply it racially, you can apply it gender based or gender fluidity, you can apply it sexual orientation. I think the purpose of the tale of the Good Samaritan was, we shouldn't marginalize people. We should be willing to go to anyone unconditionally and be there for them. Because at the end of it, Jesus says, who treated this person as his neighbor? Mm-hmm. And it was the scum of the earth, you know, from the Jewish reference.
Right. No, absolutely right. 338-3700. Good morning. Good morning.
Hello?
Someone's going to have to say hello.
Hello.
We got to get that fixed.
How's it going?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yep. Can you hear me?
Hello? We got you.
I can hear you now. Hey, so I'm calling in. You know, I feel as Christians, you know, we do have to. There's a certain level of love, and you know, that we have to bestow upon everybody. But at the same time, I think as Christians, we have become too passive. Meaning, you know, we're afraid to hurt anybody's feelings anymore because we're supposed to be Christians. We're supposed to love them. You know, Jesus rebuked the people in the temple for making it into a marketplace. Did he not love them? No, he probably loved the heck out of them. Jesus loved everybody. But as Christians, you know, we need to stand up and stop worrying about hurting people's feelings, and call wrong wrong and right is right. I think we're as Christians, we're just we're
giving up our values, and we're
but I think
scared.
I think here's what here's what my friends would say, and here's what I am saying in accord with them, because I think we're talking about two completely different things. Yes, we as Christians do need to stand up. If we see injustices, if we see these things, as Adam talked about, the idea of this postmodern society, like mm-hmm. this is the fruits of a society we live in, that does not necessarily mean that we walk up to a complete stranger or protest on the corner with these signs against a human being. There is a difference between that, because as I'm seeing people flooding in on the live line, it's like, oh man, what is this conversation? What is the fruit of this conversation? Because to some, it will be the justification of treating someone poorly for the sake of, quote, love. But it's not love. It's for the sake of being right as a Christian. And I don't think that's necessarily a good approach to anything.
Yeah.
So I want to make that very, very clear, because we do need to treat others with respect. As somebody said, the term love is loosely interpreted among us Christians. We need to seek God first, then go about biblically, not necessarily accepting of societal change or worldly acceptance. Because it's funny, as we talk about, like, you're talking about the Samaritan story, and the first person I think of is the overly marginalized human in America, at least, and I'm not saying in the world, because it's definitely in America, would probably be the Christian. Like, the actual just Bible believing Christian. But then that's so overgeneralized now, even in our culture. What does that mean? But I would say, talking about acceptance and love and everything, anytime we have a big interview, we always preface it with, hey, we just want to let you know we're a Christian format station, to kind of like give them a heads up. You may not necessarily agree with us, but we want to have a good conversation with you. And how many times have we been like marginalized because we are Christians, and because somebody was wronged by another Christian or somebody was whatever? We too are marginalized. That doesn't necessarily make it okay. What I'm saying is we should be showering people with love. I think it's just one of those times where we have to talk about what our definition is of that. What does it even mean?
The difference is, our founder, Jesus, was wrongly accused
mm-hmm.
and executed
mm-hmm.
for crimes he didn't do.
Right.
And he said to be a leader, we had to be a servant. Now, if we get into...
Servant of all.
Yeah.
So we're going to feel marginalized.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
part of the Christian walk.
Yeah.
We're going to feel walked over.
Yeah,
I'm not saying you walk outside and let everybody walk over you, because you don't.
You don't.
But there are going to be times where...
Or do you?
There are going to be times where we do.
Yeah.
And it's because we're you know, loving the other person in spirit and in truth,
yeah.
which is important. A lot of people on the live line are pointing out, hey, wait a second. You know, the most loving thing to do is present the truth. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But we have to be willing to invest time and
amen.
Effort in relationships. You can't just...
Exactly.
You're essentially a street corner, you know, prophet when you're just walking around cutting people off.
During my time of seeing God work, the times when I look back, when I saw the fruit, when I saw lives being changed and God changing hearts, were the times that I just was a friend. When I reached out and I just was there for that person, I didn't condemn them. I didn't say it was wrong. I would have lost them as a friend. If I come out of the gate saying, you're wrong, sorry, I love you, but you're wrong. No. It starts with a relationship. And they open up. I see the Holy Spirit working down the road. I see it. I see hearts changing. And I see those people that I've started friendships with coming to me asking, hey, what does the Bible say about this?
Yeah, and you have to be willing, if like, to take this approach. I get it, because in a lot of ways, it's easier to just say, guess what? Bible says that's wrong, and I don't have to support this, and walk away. That's way easier, because if you're going to really, like, if you're going to do it the way where you have to invest time and love, you have to work at that, mm-hmm. and you have to pray about it. And you have to wait for God to give you, like, you have to pray and ask and wait and be willing to take the opportunity that God gives you to speak truth to that person. But that's my thing. It's a relationship dependent on your relationship with God.
Right.
So a lot of times, and I'm not saying that this is universal, so please hear me. A lot of times the cop out
is when we throw out the Bible verse and walk away.
Right.
Because a lot of people on the live line right now are just saying, man, this love you guys are talking about, that's just a cop-out. No, my friend. The cop-out is when you quote Leviticus.
Well, I think both are cop-outs. Right. Yeah. Both extremes are a cop-out.
They are. When you cut it off at the beginning and don't pursue relationship with that person in love based on Christ and your relationship with him, then you are copping out either way.
Yeah. 338-3700. Thanks for holding. Good morning.
Lines are jammed. Hello. Hey, how's it going?
You hear me?
Yep, totally.
Yeah. Okay, good. Hey, Steve, I have to take an issue. I think what you said earlier about education and stuff has a lot to do with people's beliefs in gender fluidity or transgender. You made the comment of something about education and
that was
a
listener.
People,
yeah, that was a listener. I was reading a listener email. Lack of a good education system. That was a listener that chimed in from Austria.
I apologize.
That's okay.
I thought it was you and
keep going.
My whole comment on that is, you know, there's plenty of people who are educated, who are smart, who are from, you know, good areas, good homes, who, you know, either you got to respect people's beliefs, no matter what, you know. There are many religions across the world. There's not just one. There's not just Christianity. And there's not just one belief, you know. And my finding is, until you know somebody who is in that position, you have to love them, and it's not your place. If they're doing wrong, that's God's place to judge them.
Right.
As human beings, as Christians, it's not our place to be judging people.
Yeah.
We have our own beliefs, and that's what we should live our lives off of. And not casting a finger at somebody, whether you do it in your mind or if you do it out, verbalize it. There, you know, that's what's wrong.
Yeah.
I think with Christianity today is that too many people are pointing that finger and saying, "Oh, they're wrong." You know what? Let God decide. You know, love people for being a people, and nothing else. And that's just my opinion.
Thank
on
you,
that,
brother. But I feel like at times we don't let the Holy Spirit work.
Right.
You know, we're just so easy to jump in, point the finger and say, oh, this is what the Bible says, but we're not willing to let the Holy Spirit work on them.
Well, this is it. Somebody just chimed in on a live line saying, I think Christians, we can get emotional about these issues. We need to be careful of our motives in rebuke as well as love.
Mm-hmm.
Are we truly concerned for the soul and salvation and the well-being of the person, or are we being sin whistleblowers? And that's it. I think we're all essentially saying the same thing, because I don't think you come up to somebody and you blah blah blah. But I would still stand by the idea of loving someone as you love a child, because my kids are 12, 10, and 3.
How do you discipline a person, though? You're talking about disciplining your children if they're in the wrong. How do you do that?
Well, okay, do you want me to finish?
I'm sorry.
Okay, cool. Because my 12-year-old, who I've had a relationship for 12 years,
mm-hmm.
is a completely different relationship than my 3-year-old who doesn't understand certain things. Does that make sense? I have a much different relationship with my 12-year-old because I've had 12 years of a relationship with that person. And I think that very much comes into play when talking to friends. I would never approach a stranger or even a new friend, but if I see someone that I've known for X amount of years that could be failing in an area of their marriage or could be failing with drinking or whatever it is that is in their life that is like a stronghold at that moment, if I'm close enough with them, absolutely I'm going to say, hey man, I don't think that's the best for you right now. Like, is that the best? Do you need that beer? Do you need that extra glass of whiskey? Do you need that right now or whatever it is? Because we've established a relationship, I'm comfortable and close enough to do that. Now with children, sure, because it's like, I'm the father figure, so I have this authority, blah, blah, blah. But it's very different, because I wouldn't just go to my 3-year-old who has no understanding of that role and say, I am your father, you obey me now and respect my authority. Because he would go, okay.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I get that.
So I think we do still need to have that, as we're all saying, that relationship. Because all of us in here have those relationships, if you will. We do. I think for us, we could say that we are the unshockable friend. You know what I mean? Whether it's a Christian, a non-Christian, because guess what? For as many times as I've had the, quote, non-believing friend who's just living in sin, I've had the Christian friend who's like, dude, I want out of my marriage. Mm-hmm. I hate this life. Mm-hmm. I am not cool with blah, 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 blah. And I've been that person. Do you know what I mean? Like, so this is, again, why you're right. We all need to be unshockable and loving. But I'm also thankful for my friend that says, hey, bro, that's cute that you think like you want to roll from your marriage or whatever it is. But here's what God's word has to say, because he was able to use that standard with me. And I said, dang, that's right. Yeah. And I'm thankful for that now. You know, and nobody's stoked on reproof at the time. Nobody. All of us in here, I would say, got a little contentious at one point or another within the confines of the last 5 minutes of conversation when we felt like our point of view was being attacked. Do you know what I mean? It got a little contentious at moments. And so I would say that nobody enjoys reproof at the time. Like, nobody. It's scriptural. Mm-hmm. And yet, to those that can, in love, have that opportunity and use that moment that God has given them, it should be that way.
Yeah. Thank you for holding.
We got an email I want to address. Please stop bashing street corner prophets. If we were to be consistent with the use, then John the Baptist would fall under this criticism. So would Peter and Paul. There are some who are called to do that specific type of ministry. Who are we to judge them? Yes, I understand there are those who give us a bad name with saying God hates fags, but I have seen those who are fire and brimstone, and I felt the presence of God around them and felt a genuine love. They were speaking those things, but they were smiling and kindly speaking with those who argued with them. Totally agree, but just like you said, there are specific people called to do that. Not all of us are called to do that.
Yeah.
And when we leave conversations and relationships like we do, it's kind of like we're all making out to be those people. But yeah, just like you said, that's a specific calling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when you see signs of hate, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's not from God.
Well, yeah, it doesn't do anything. We saw it very well here in New Mexico with the Trump rally. Mm. Whether you loved the dude or hated the dude, it just looked really hilarious to have people with the Mexican flag screaming four-letter words at humans with no Trump, no hate. And it's like, but you're just slinging hate.
Yeah.
You look like the biggest hypocrite. And that's what we as Christians probably look like when we do that.
If you've gone to the pavilion to any concerts, you probably have seen a group of people down there with signs yelling at people with just awful things.
Yeah.
You know what? There's a big difference between... We call so much stuff hate nowadays. There's a big difference between like hating on somebody and then like hating someone.
Yes.
This isn't really a war I want to fight, but I do think that needs to be mentioned. Mm. Because even earlier when we first brought this up, and it was like, you sound like you're hating him. It sounded like he was hating on him. It didn't sound like he hated him.
Right. Yeah.
But we equate the two.
Yeah. Of course.
So many times. Like, so many people fall back on that. Both sides of the spectrum. Republicans fall back on it. Democrats fall back on it. Libertarians fall back on it. Gay people fall back on it. Christians fall back on it. Everybody falls back on, oh man, I'm going to ignore the hate. There's a big difference between hate and, you know, hating. It's a slang term. We need to redefine that. Like, there needs to be, number one, if you're a Christian, you don't need to be doing that stuff on the internet. You look like an idiot, and you make every one of us look like idiots when you go do that. As a Christian, you are not called to hate on anyone's Facebook post. Straight up. Jesus never said that, I'm pretty sure.
I just don't think that's a platform to really...
It's just like you just said.
It's so frustrating.
It's the protester outside of... It's the, you know, you're outside of the rally.
But on the same time, can we then in turn tell our friends to stop posting stupid things?
We'll never be able to say
that.
But
if it's stupid to you, it doesn't mean it's stupid to other people.
Oh, man.
I'm going to post cat pictures made out of pizza forever.
Thank you.
He loves
I really am.
No,
I want you to. I want you to.
Nobody can stop me.
I will love those all day long, man.
I love cats.
So what you just said there, somebody on the live line chimed. Dude, I apologize to everybody who we weren't able to get to, or there's been 1,000 comments. But somebody says, my fight against this isn't against any individual with any classification or identification, but it is instead against the social justice uprising classifying these people as victims. They aren't victims, they are people. Yet social studies courses has taught us these people, these communities, they're oppressed individuals that are victims of a system, a white male patriarchy system, and it turns prosperous people with opportunity into slugs who only market talent as being a victim and going around crying about injustices of our society. Whoa, that was a mouthful.
That was our latest. We're talking about gender fluid.
Which, we were.
Pretty fluid conversation.
Yeah. It's about this young man named Matthew who
prom queen
identifies as being gender fluid, yeah. Which means when he wakes up, he could feel like a female. And the next day, he could be a male. Or just that in between. He doesn't recognize him or herself as either one.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were talking about how do we approach that situation, you know?
And just to be totally clear, I think the Bible is very clear
mm-hmm.
about what is sin and what is not sin. But two things with that. As a Christian, you have to remember many times you are not speaking to someone who holds the Bible in authority because and that's just the way. Yeah. So you have to approach that conversation in a completely different way. There are two different situations when you have a Christian friend who is dealing with something, and then when you have a non-believing
Absolutely.
Friend who is dealing with something.
Think of a Muslim came to you and started telling you,
I would not,
you need to do it this way because my Bible says this.
What would you
How
say
would
to
you
them?
Respond
You'd
to
be
that.
Like, I don't believe that.
Right.
I don't hold the Quran in any esteem.
You would shut down immediately.
And that's
You wouldn't unconditionally love him, Dex?
Well, if I wasn't a Christian, I wouldn't, but I don't know.
No, I'm talking about you. You said you.
No, he was saying, but the most important thing.
Handle that situation.
Exactly, because we literally just spent 50 minutes talking about how we need to unconditionally, unshockably love someone. But you're right. Think about every time a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness approaches your doorstep.
Put them to work.
Do you make them dinner and unconditionally love the tar out of them to build a relationship? I tried that once and it really didn't work. I'm not even being funny. They didn't come back.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been down that road as well.
Yeah. So it's easy for us to say what we do in any given situation, but when we're actually confronted with it, we're actually approached with a crazy situation.
Yeah.
And I said crazy. I'm sorry. Yeah, well, I don't mean the person's crazy. I mean the situation's crazy because now we have to define.
All right. We're done. Thank you so much, Starmy. It's been a big show today.
It has.
If you missed any of it, it'll be up the podcast here in a little bit.
Shout out to Brandy listening in California who said, thank you for having these conversations as a parent of a preteen.
Thank you, Brandy.
Going into junior high next year, I find myself having these kinds of conversations with my daughter in her daily routine.
Woo.
And you guys and the Starmy help me guide her, teaching her to show God's love and grace as most importance. It's great.
Big Thursday show tomorrow. We had Kevin Federline on this morning. Who's it going to be tomorrow?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
Britney Spears.
Nope. Gary Busey.
I wish. No, stop it right now.
I'm just kidding.
He was in one of the greatest movies of all time. It's called Point Break.
Predator, man.
Wait,
Predator.
What? He wasn't in Predator?
Wait,
Predator
is Predator going to be on the show?
Predator 2. Yes, Predator
to
tomorrow.
Fight you. No, there's no Predator.
All right, we love you guys. Bye.
That's all we got. There ain't no more. Time is tight. It's the end of the show.